Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance whenever we're able. We do routines, to call the scenes, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more. We're table. So many times we give and rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're off the mad in Camelot. We sing from the die of Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sam, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how do you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
He, King Shazam the Terrible. All rise for King Shazam the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey.
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. 1,000 people in the street singing songs and carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look.
Disease the Turbo. All rise for King Shazam the Turbo and the Knights of the Round Table.
So, the dictionary says that the word believe is to accept something as true, feel sure of the truth, hold something as an opinion, or think or suppose. So, the question I want to start off with today is, what do you believe? Folks, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table, and I hope that something comes out of this day that gives you some sort of better outlook on life. Better than what I actually had when I woke up this morning, because as I'm looking through the world for content, what I do, I get up early in the morning, because I don't want to try to ponder this all night, what I want to talk about to begin with on the show. Keep in mind, though, that the Knights of the Round Table is an open forum, so if there's something important that you need to talk about or want to talk about, bring it to the table. That's what it's all about. It's friends sitting around a table having coffee, talking about world events and finding solutions to all the stuff that is going on, so we can do something about it. You know, we can help motivate or inspire or whatever it takes to make the world a better place. But I get up 2 hours prior to every show, even in the Mad Science show, and like I said, I don't pick my content the night before unless there's something really pressing or amazing going on that I feel like I want to talk about the next day. There have been subjects that came up on different shows that we basically based our next show on and stuff, but for the most part, it's 2 hours prior. I get up and I look out into the world via this little peephole that we call the internet, you know, and I see what's going on out there. And so, as I'm hearing all the different things, and believe me, according to what I've been shown by not just the mainstream media, but the alternative media, because I watch them all. You know, that's the only way you can never get a balanced opinion on something, is to hear both sides of the story. See, two people could be telling you a bold-faced lie, but in that lie, they have to tell you some bit of truth, some little nugget of truth to keep you interested, so that you will even believe the lie, you know, because it sounds plausible, but they're leaning towards whichever side of the agenda they want. So I would listen to everybody speak. I want to hear everything they have to say, their opinions, their facts, and watch their reactions. And so I watch all different types of medias, every single one of the mainstream medias and every single one of the alternative medias that I come across. And then I will reach down inside and find that what inspires me to try to deliver a good message into the world. And so sometimes I get up and I kind of got off on the wrong side of the bed one morning or something, and I'm kind of bummed out or whatever, and I'm watching all the news and it's kind of bringing me down into a darker place. And so maybe those days I try to find something lighthearted to start off the show with, because sometimes you have to learn to laugh in the face of adversity, otherwise life will get you down. And we don't want to get you down. We want to inform you the best that we can with whatever we find, and you inform us the best that you can with whatever you find, and share information and try to basically sort through the truth to find out what it is that we believe. You know, there's so much going on out there in this world, it will, like we always like to say, it'll blow your mind. But believe is a big thing. You know, belief is a powerful thing. A lot of people do a lot of strange things because of belief, and even on the wonderful side. Somebody had mentioned something about wonders of the world. There's a lot of wonders of the world. You know, people can be amazing. Some of the things that mankind have actually created, you know, there's actually this deal called the Seven Wonders of the World. Probably more wonders than by now. But nonetheless, you kind of have to wonder about how a lot of these things came to be. You know, maybe it was past civilizations that we didn't know about. Maybe history was changed or manipulated. And maybe there's a story, a truth that isn't told yet that we're all seeking, that we one day will all find out together, and maybe have to look back and laugh at the way that we freaked out because of what was going on. You know, in my life, I choose a spiritual journey, and I try to share my life with people without trying to press upon them what my beliefs are. I just basically, when I'm asked, I'll share. Or sometimes, if the subject is relevant, I will, you know, point it out. But my own personal spiritual belief, that's one of the things that keeps me grounded in this world. It allows me to, you know, recognize if I go stand out there in the grass with my bare feet, I'm amazed by the creation that we have actually been gifted from whatever entity you believe to be a higher power or God, or even a stroke of luck in some sort of chaotic explosion, such as what they would say during the Big Bang. It doesn't matter. What does matter is, you know, what I choose to do with this life, it doesn't just affect me, and I realize that, and I'm humbled by the experience that there are others out there like me that like to gather here on the Knights of the Round Table and share their stories and their hearts with everybody as well. So, I'm asking the question this morning, you know, what do you believe? There's so much going on. You know, there's so much, you know, crime and corruption that's talked about in the mainstream media, and there's so many people that believe that we're going over the falls in the barrel, so to speak. Which, unfortunately, for the most folks that tried to go over the falls in a barrel, they didn't fare so well. And the ones that did fare fairly decent, well, they kind of got jailed after that, because after a point of enough people dying going over the falls in a barrel, they made it illegal. You're not supposed to do that anymore, but every once in a while you'll get somebody crazy enough to try. I don't want to see this world go over the falls in a barrel. I don't want to see this world have to suffer through all the craziness that we have to endure. You know, even if you're not actually standing in that war zone, and if you got a heart beating in your chest that has a concern for your fellow brothers and sisters out there, you're traumatized by that. Because you know what's going on over there. There's a lot of things that I wish I could reach out and help and repair right out of the gate. I wish that I could snap my fingers and resolve the whole starvation issue and the homeless and all the things that you hear about. But life isn't all bad, and it's up to us to, when we can, point it out to the world, you know. But every so often, well, quite more often than not, we always have to talk about tough subjects, because there's a lot of things, terrible atrocities that need to come to light, and they are. You know, there's a lot of alternative media people that's been out there shouting at all four points of the compass and trying to warn the world about, you know, how things are playing out, and, you know, keep your eyes peeled, and, you know, maybe throw a few extra food things on your shelves just in case. You know, you never know what's going to happen. We always talk about being prepared about whatever event might come our way. But it all falls down to what it is you believe. Do you believe the world's going over a cliff or down a side of a mountain in a grocery cart or to hell in a handbasket or whatever? You know, Barbara's with me today. She's one of the awesome Knights of the Round Table. And we were talking just prior to the show about how Paul Harvey said it like he did back in 1965 about the basically the state of the world that we find ourselves in. Boy, if there was ever any prophetic words, you go back and listen to them lyrics and you match it up, you know, put it side by side with the things that you see going on. There's two sets of laws for the elite, and, you know, for you and I, we probably would have been under the jail if we did half of what they said that these other individuals have done, and they are supposedly leaders of the free world and, you know, all the European and Asian nations and so on and so forth. It's some chaotic times. It's some wonderful times. It's spectacular. It's amazing. It's every kind of thing that you can talk about. But once again, everything in this world, if you want to get to the truth, which is basically what the The dictionary says that the word believes is what you're willing to accept as true, feel sure of the truth, or hold something as an opinion. You know, that's a short deal. It actually, there, if you Google it up, there's some examples, but you get the point. It's really important what you believe in this world, because, you know, your beliefs are one of the things that drive you to do, you know, things in this world, and maybe something profound to help people out because you believe that the world needs you. I kind of feel like that. I'm not trying to toot my own horn or anything, but I feel like the world needs to hear some of the words that are on my heart and mind, and, you know, so whenever I'm inspired to speak out, that's why I like to get on this radio and talk to all my friends around the world. And I wrote something to my wife, and I can't wait to see her response. I put it out there on Facebook. Maybe I'll see if I can copy it and paste it, but just wanted to tell her I loved her in a special way. And that's what you should do to your family. You should write them something from your heart and let them know that, you know, they mean something to you, and that's a good thing. So, hey, Barbara, how you doing there, lady?
Oh, hi. Hi, Shaziz. It's good to be here. It's kind of a rainy day here in on Turtle Island. Happy to be talking to people over there across the big waters. Yeah, I like this subject. It's very complex, you know. We could get into it because it is complex, and it's not such a simple thing. Well, do you believe this, or you don't believe it? You think, well, that's simple. But yeah, what, you know, what he was talking about, I was just thinking when you were saying, in the opening of your show, the things he was talking about, in those days when he was speaking about it, what was the date of that?
1965.
1965, and well, all that he was talking about, he was basically talking about what we are experiencing today, and I'm thinking, well, in this moment, did the people in that time believe him, what he was telling them?
Probably because some, but probably some didn't. And you know, ironic, the ironic thing is, I got here just as he was saying everything was going to heck in a handbasket. I was born in 65.
Oh, okay. Well, I was born in 1942.
Wow.
And it was a whole different world then. But looking back, you know, growing up in this system, you know me, I talk about the system. This system, everybody believed in this system. The, you know, the way of the people here, the United States of America. And, you know, I came to believe something so different than how I started out my life. I've come a whole different, taken a whole different position. And I think that's important, because when you have a belief, you believe in what you believe in, and nobody can change your mind, you know, no matter what they point out to you or show you or give you information or documents or truths or whatever it is.
Well,
if someone,
the picture that they painted of this country that we live in, it was something that I would really love to believe in, that the truth and justice and freedom and all that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that, let's say the whole world, because I think the people listening to us are under the same system, systematic manipulation, control, lies that we here on Turtle Island are under. So I'm going to spread it to the world, because that's what I found out over these many, many years. And so I'd say now I can sit back and I can say, you know, our history, the history we were given by the authorities in this system, the education system, are pretty much mostly lies.
Yeah.
And so that's a mind blower for you. We're going to probably use the statement, the mind blower, a lot here on the show. Because how do you deal with this when you have believed something, your parents believed something, the same thing given to you, your grandparents, and so on and so forth, and then you're wandering around in your life and you start to see things differently, and thankfully you do, and you start to then do some investigation, which you must do to change things or to really be smart or have wisdom or get to know what is really going on. And then you start to see some truths coming out of this whole lying, manipulating system. It's mind-blowing. Yeah. And so, but you can sit there and you can go through generations, and you can just hang on to the beliefs that you were handed down through your generations because the system told you this, and you believe it because we are under the thumb of the authorities, and we are told to believe the authorities, you know? So that's a conundrum right there. You know, who are these authorities? Where did they come from? Who gave them permission to tell us this is real, this is not real, this is truth, this is false? Who gave these people this authority?
I don't know, but the unfortunate side effect of actually finding out the world may not be exactly as it was portrayed to you can be a pretty traumatizing kind of thing, if you understand what I'm saying, because there's a lot of people, I mentioned this before the show, I bet there's a lot of people out there whose head's spinning because it's just so chaotic. I mean,
well, today people's... So here's the truth. If your head is spinning, if you feel unsettled, if you feel tipped over, if you feel unsettled, if you feel like you're in a free fall, if you feel like the world has gone insane, if you feel like the chaos is rising, if you feel all these things, well, you're definitely, that's real. It's, I'm going to stand right there with you and say, yeah, the world is ramping up here with this craziness because truths are coming out, and that sets people as spinning. And the things that are happening that we are being exposed to are setting everybody spinning. But here's the thing. A belief is an assumed truth, okay? How can you prove this? It's an assumed truth, a belief, you know?
Yeah.
And so we're finding out all these things that are happening today, but Paul Harvey spoke about this so long ago, and today we see everything he said is factual. It is the truth, what this man spoke of. And so, you know, I'm just thinking, well, he's no longer here on the earth, and I said to you, wow, I wonder, you know, what he would be thinking about now, because here we are, we're in the midst of this swamp with all this stuff that he spoke about, you know. In relation to the devil, he used the word devil. If I were the devil, he said, and everything he spoke about, if I were the devil, I'd do this, and I'd make sure this happened, and I'd make sure people fought against each other and hated each other, and that's not what he said, but I'm just saying all the things that a devil or a dark entity or Satan or Lucifer, whatever you want to say, if I were that, and I had such hate, because that entity has such hate and disruption, does not like light, does not like joy, does not like happiness, does not want peace, is a manipulator, a powerful manipulator, and an entity that can enter into your sphere where you think you're okay and start feeding you information that will spin you around in a whole other direction. And that's what's going on. I call it so. People have sold their soul to the devil, and then that's bad news when that happens. But then they become a puppet. Okay, and they do dirty deeds, and they do things that spin us. They do things that stun us. They do things that will blow your mind. So if I were the devil, I'm going to talk about the creation, because if we think about what we've known or been told, and I'd say, okay, do we really, we've been told to believe in a devil. We've been told to believe in Lucifer, Satan, Luciferians, Illuminatis, Cabals, Elites. We've been told to believe all this, right? And we just have to say, okay, is this an assumed truth? I can only go by my gut feeling and by my own instincts and by my own truth meter and the inner knowing that I've been blessed with and we all have been blessed with, but if we use it, we can figure things out and we can come to the truth. You know, so we're always going to be asking, is this true? Is that true? But it is an assumed truth. So we create beliefs. Us human beings create beliefs basically to do what? To anchor our understanding of the world around us. We, you know, this is part of our nature.
Yep.
But we create beliefs, right?
Yep.
So once we have formed a belief, we, for some reason, in our nature as humans, we will tend to persevere with that belief. And there's where we are today. Okay, that perseverance, okay, if we have formed a belief, now how do you form a belief? I'm looking at our system has told us what to believe and not, or not. That's the system. Now the system is the education system, it is the political system, it is the financial system, and it is the religious system that is basically in control of people, of society, of systems, right? That's what we've lived under, that's what our parents, our grandparents, and so on have lived under for millennia. So today, people are, you know, these beliefs are cemented in their brain, and they persevere with that belief. How can you, we call it red pilling, right? So red pilling is basically to give people information that appears, again, I have to say appear, or is assumed truths. But there's so many things that are pointing to this particular issue that you have to be, I don't know, completely dumbed down and unwilling to change your prescribed belief. You have to be like a block of cement. Because what we see today, there's facts, there's documents, you know, there's various things that are going on that will blow your mind and stunning in today's world, in our political system, and in the deep state, what's going on across the board, all systems, religious, education, financial, you know, and political, that is upsetting the apple cart with people's beliefs.
Well,
yeah.
I think that the way I deal with a lot of stuff has to do spiritually, but I also have to give credit to the people that are in my life. That includes you and Patty and Two Dog and all the people that show up for these radio shows and stuff like that, because, you know, all of that matters. I want to share something with everybody that I wrote yesterday for my wife. I don't know if she's even had an opportunity to see it, but I put it out there on Facebook. You know, I'll just read this thing. And basically it says, Facebook spies on you, you know they do, laugh out loud, but who cares, right? With that said, I don't get on Facebook much, but when I do, you can best believe that what I say I mean, and it may very well be profound, otherwise why bother? With all that, let me say this. There is a lady in my life that I have been blessed with and probably do not deserve. I love her very much. In fact, there are no human words to explain how much. Regardless, I would walk quite literally through hell barefooted for this woman, and you can take that to the bank. The thing that frustrates me the most is that it seems to be taking so long to build my queen the castle that she deserves. Rest assured, I will work myself to the bone to make it so, because I love her very much. My point is this, I never met anyone like her. She is selfless, humble, loving, funny, crazy, and a bad temper when needed to be, and so much more. Most of all, a very great friend, a lover, and a spectacular, wonderful wife. When God gave me her, I knew that God loved me with all his heart so much that during our wedding, it brought tears to my eyes that before me stood my dream girl, and I was the most lucky guy alive. My life has been filled with so many wonderful souls, best friends and family as well, and I could not ask for a better group of people that have been with me and guided me safely through life. I am so very fortunate to have each and every one of you, and I love you so very much more than words could say. And that is the truth, from the bottom to the top of all that I am. My mom is amazing, and my family perfect in my eyes, even if they believe themselves to be flawed. I messed up something there. I need to learn how to proofread. Who cares? I love them all. But my wife, she stood by me when my life was crashing down, and she not only went the distance with me, but she took it to the extreme. And now her and I together have earned the right in my heart to live out the rest of our lives together, the ultimate dream. Look, I am not trying to boast here. I am trying to celebrate the best thing that ever happened to me, and that was the day my God put an angel in my life to steal away my heart. I said that I would walk through hell barefooted for this woman, but the truth is she loves me so much that she would not let me. Of course, she knows with or without her permission I would do so and take the heat later for it. Fact is, true love is real, and I hope each of you get to feel it as well. I love this woman with all that I am and ever will be. I hope that she knows this as her truth. I will give this lady, my queen, her castle, whatever it takes, and I have so much more that I could say, but let me close with this. My God is great, glorious, and so amazing, and I will tell you how I know that this is true. I know this because each time I look into her amazingly beautiful eyes, I say to myself, only the most amazing God could have created you. And his heart must have been made of gold because he gave me you. I love you, Beverly, with all that I am or will ever be. And I pray I will ever be a fraction of what you, my love, are to me.
Wow, that's beautiful. That's a beautiful gift, you know. And I think that this piece that you're speaking about, believing in that love, that kind of love that two people can have, you know, I believe in that too. I don't think it happens for everyone. And so what does one do, you know? Somebody hears what you're talking about, this connectedness, you know, to Beverly and the love that you both have for each other. And I think ultimately what comes to my mind is if you were my partner and any partner, you know, I would want them to be happy. I would want them to feel joy every day. I would want them to be healthy, specifically healthy. You know, that's the piece, healthy, because that means it would be concerning to me if there were things being done that would be harmful to my partner, you know,
because
I have such love for them. So, you know, this is a piece that we have to look at.
I'm going to add two dog real quick. You'll hear a little...
I think it's a belief. We must have some belief in our own self, in the sacredness of ourself. You know, you talk about creator. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you fine.
Okay. You talk about great spirit. You talk about God. I say great spirit or Wankantanka Tokashala. You say God. It doesn't matter to me. I think the piece that is most important for us is to believe, to know, within our whole self, our whole being, that we are sacred children and that we have the capacity to love and to receive love. You know, to love ourselves first, because you can't love someone else to the fullest extent unless you really truly love yourself. Because if you don't, you're always going to be holding back something. You know,
yep.
There's going to be some doubt about yourself, or this doubt creates a behavior. Can you accept love? Can you accept fully the love that Creator has for you? That is a different experience. Then you are able to love others and reach out to others and have that capacity, as Creator does for us, is to love each other. And I think that this is a powerful belief that we have this ability. And we have that love to me can change the world. That love to me can heal. That love to me is so powerful, and it was given to every one of us. We have the capacity. And how many people are really up there on that top piece there, on that top of the ladder, I guess you could say, feeling, experiencing, being love, and loving, and receiving love, and experiencing life that way, you know. So this is a beautiful thing. If two people or more people, I think we have to love to our fullest capacity. Yeah. In order to change the world.
I think you told a story one time about a flower through a crack in the concrete or something like
that. Yeah. Oh my gosh,
well,
I did.
That's kind of why I wanted to share that thing that I wrote for my wife, because as rough as life may appear, there is still wonders and beauties in this world that may go unnoticed because of, you know, the grand scheme of things, so to speak. But just like that example that you said about the crack in the flower, one time I saw a video where there was this yard that I guess everybody kind of used it as a dumping ground. And right in the middle of this big old giant trash pile was probably the most beautiful flower that I ever seen. It's kind of nature peeking out there and saying, hey, you know, this is what it could look like if you give me half a chance, if you know what I mean.
Well, I look at that as that example of our humanness, that we could be in the middle of terrible things. We could be in the middle of a big mess, which I think we are. But within that mess is something beautiful and sacred and joyous. If we look for it, it will be there. It's always there. Just like the middle of that trash pile, there's a beautiful flower that will just be awesome and uplift you, you know.
Yeah.
So if we take that analogy and see as a human population here, as all people of many nations, many colors, we're all in this together. And some are lost and some are off track and some are confused and some are hurtful and hateful and some are doing their best to be loving and compassionate and reaching out to others. So within all this, you know, this whole system, there is always the beauty. There is always that little flower in a person, a human being. We have that within us. To stand in the middle of a trash pile and just emanate love and beauty.
Yeah.
That's how I see that.
Well, I think a lot of people in this world actually kind of need to try to find something to believe in, you know. I mean, there's a lot of people that believe that in doom and gloom and everything's just going to be terrible for here on out, but my warning to those individuals, this belief is a powerful thing, you know. And you,
well, I'll tell you, belief is a powerful thing, and it can do negative harm or positives.
Yeah.
It can, because that's the power that we have. What you believe in, you manifest and create. This is a given. This is not nothing new. What you focus on, what you believe, you focus on it. If you believe something so passionately, you're in that energy of that belief, and you're focusing on it, and you emanating it. So if you believe that there's just war and hate and evil and darkness and stuff, that's what you're gonna experience in your life.
Yeah.
And so, if you believe in goodness, if you believe in peace, if you believe in love and compassion and unity of the nations, of people, of human beings, then that's what your experience will be no matter what.
Well,
yeah, I mean, I've read stories recently, I didn't go into it, but I have read these stories before of people in terrible situations like concentration camps or the gulag or whatever you want to call it, like the worst place that a system could put you in.
Yeah.
Under false pretense or whatever, it doesn't matter, but the worst experience where you are stuck in a prison camp or stuck in a gulag or stuck in a country where they use people without care, without conscience, without concern. They just use people, like enslave them, and the people are barely living. And I have read and seen and heard about amazing things with what goes on with a person in that system, in that situation, where someone would say, this is hopeless, and I'm not going to make it, and this you know, this is terrible and this sucks. And then the other, that person will rise up and survive and find something to love and find something to be, you know, in a good way, live in a good way or reach out to someone. These things do go on.
You just pointed out a very important aspect of one of the things that we actually try to do here is to inspire people to believe in themselves, because that belief that you're worthless or, you know, the world's just so terrible and ain't nothing you can do about it, it's a killer. It drags people down. And if you can't find something to believe in, and if you can't believe in yourself, this world can be pretty miserable for individuals. You know, it can be a lot more than individuals. There's been a lot of terrible things happen. But,
well, we see this today, and I think we're in this whole subject about belief. What do you believe? Because I've seen what people are believing today in a system. They are staunch believers in that this system is messed up, you know, dark, evil, or it's perfect and working well, and who they believe in is the right one, or the God, or the authority, or the best, whatever you want to say, and the others are believing in something entirely different. This is creating disunity. It is creating a system that is so, spinning people. But I have just seen people believing in something without even seeking a truth, or without even seeking or interested in seeking a possible scenario that may prove that their belief is not right, is wrong. I have seen that. Nope, this is what I believe because mainstream media told me. And by the way, mainstream media is dead. There is no mainstream media. You know what's mainstream media?
Mainstream propaganda is what they got going on.
Well, it's mainstream. It's not mainstream. It's corrupt. It's a corrupt system.
Yep.
That is basically owned by corporate minds who are biased, who have their own political bias, and that's what they put out. Now, this is a fact. And you know what? It's interesting because as I started out, I said, you know, growing up from 1942, and the beliefs that was given to me, that were passed on to me through my generations of people, plus the education system, plus the political system, plus the religious system, and all that, something happened where I started to see things differently, and I'm seeing things differently still today at 75. When I look at mainstream media, I'm seeing it and listening and hearing something entirely different from the way I used to see this system. This is so amazing. This is freeing me from being owned and manipulated and programmed, because now I have a different viewpoint, a different perspective of what we all once believed in.
Yeah, now they're desperate. You can see it in them, and they're desperate and telling blatant all-out lies. And the bad thing about it is, you know that they don't believe them when they're saying it. They're telling the lie, and you're looking at them, and you can feel that it's a lie.
I'm going to give you an example. Here's a recent example. Okay, so if you didn't listen to the whole speech that President Trump gave, but you instead listened to mainstream media who chose and picked, nitpicked and pulled out a portion of President Trump's speech, and they said in this statement that President Trump said that immigrants, are animals. Okay,
yeah.
This was all over the mainstream media. Now, I looked at that, but I wanted to find out, okay, did President Trump say that all immigrants are animals? Because that's what the mainstream media said. They had him on film. Okay, yeah. They had him on film. But it was a chosen piece. They didn't give you the rest of the information. They didn't give you the whole speech. They only pulled out that one portion, which they can do. And it was all over mainstream media, President Trump standing there saying, immigrants are animals, period. That's it. Now, if you're sitting in your living room and you're watching mainstream media, you're going to go, what? President Trump said immigrants are animals, and everybody got on Facebook and everybody started writing and talking about President Trump. President Trump said immigrants are animals. But President Trump didn't say immigrants are animals. He said MS-13, those immigrants are animals.
Yeah, and if you heard some of the stories of what MS-13 had done...
Well, what's their motto? Their motto is violence, rape, and I don't know, it's the worst kind of thing. That's their motto. They wear it or they're just tattooed on their body.
Yeah.
Okay, so now I'm talking about this. Now, if you believe in the mainstream media, that's what you will have heard. And this has been going on and on and on and on.
Yep.
And so... And they are bent on making President Trump look like an idiot, look like a bigot, look like blah, 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 that, because they pull out things that he's speaking about, but they don't pull out the whole bit of information. Now, I'm not saying that I'm a Trumper. I'm only saying I want to know the truth.
Well, and that's why I said I listen to both. I listen to all the different versions of what they're professing to be the truth so that I can pick the truth out with my discernment and common sense, you know. It's two people's telling a different story, and it doesn't jive with the facts.
Get the full story. Yeah. Get the full story before you start passing it on. This is what we must be responsible for this. And I want to say, here's another one for you. This goes way back. So, in history books, what we have been reading, and this is probably about pretty much for the whole world, because this is how the system works, okay? They manipulate your mind, they manipulate your beliefs, because then they own you, and they can do whatever they want, and you will believe in them. So here's the thing. We heard, I read, and I was trained to believe that Indian people, the First Nations people, were devil worshippers, okay? Were animals and soulless, okay? That's what this country was based upon. That's why they could commit genocide, and they're still doing it everywhere in the world, committing genocide upon people who are, you know, animals, soulless, devil worshippers, or whatever. Okay, now, that was given to me, that information. Probably given to everybody. You know, that's why, and that the Indian people were the first ones, they started scalping people. No, that's not real. That's wrong, and that's a lie. But we all believed it, didn't we? Because the authorities told us, and that was a manipulated truth. Now, you could go down the history in your country, in our country, and all over the world, and if you want to do the real research and really find out the truth, of these people that manipulated us for generations and generations to own us and control us, you know, you can do that. You will find the lies that will blow your mind.
Yeah. You know, I think about some of the stories in history about how some people, you know, actually just treated nature alone. You know, there were stories about, you know, trains... Back when the trains first started, railroad starts going through, and there were actually groups of individuals who would go out on these trains and shoot herds of buffalo just for sport. And I'm like,
well, you know, they were given permission to do that because you know why? Because the Indian people relied fully and totally and completely upon the Buffalo Nations because it fed them, it clothed them, or utensils, everything that, you see, they honored and respected this Buffalo Nation. And they did this through prayer. They did this through ceremony. This is the way of the people, and that's why they wanted to destroy the people. They wanted to destroy First Nations people. They wanted to eliminate the clan mother system because it's like, I'll go back to Lucifer. As I was saying before, Lucifer is the one who's corrupt and dark and hates love, hates light, hates goodness, hates compassion, hates balance and harmony within this whole system, okay, and needs the souls because it needs your hate, needs your fear, needs your negativity because that's what it eats, that's what the food is, that's an energy and a frequency that lifts that darkness and makes it more powerful. And we are subjected to that by the cabal and the elite. We are basically enslaved in the system to feed the dark. So when you have a nation, and all nations, black, red, yellow, and white, originally, even the white people, were earth people, connected to the earth and aware and in what I call the tribal consciousness, because we all needed each other. This before technology, before organized religion, before financial systems, before education systems, we were educated by the Mother Earth and by Creator. You know, yeah. I don't have a degree. I didn't go to college. The world is my college. The nature is my college. The Mother is my college. That's where I learned everything. And through spirit and through my connectedness, because of my oneness and connectedness with Creator, Great Spirit, that's my university. So I don't have a diploma that I paid a lot of money for and am still in debt to, you know, and I am not one who was trained by the system with lies, that has a paper on my wall in a black frame that I paid a lot of money for that tells everybody that I am an authority now and you must believe what I say. So this system, the original system that everybody lived under, was one in relationship to tribal consciousness, oneness with Creator, Great Spirit, God, the Mother Earth, and all of life and nature. Now, you have an entity that hates beauty, hates love, life, compassion, love, togetherness, unity, hates that, and it's deliberately destroying that, and we are participating in that. We're participating in it. We better wake up.
Well, yeah, that's why I'm sitting here when I told that about that story about the buffalo there. When I first heard that, it's just, what kind of person would find any pleasure in doing that to begin with? But that's not the...
Well, that was the reason they wanted to people to have fun shooting at the buffalo and killing thousands and thousands and thousands of buffalo was to eliminate the food source, the life force of the Indian people.
Yeah.
That's a terrible... That's like taking the food from a baby's mouth.
Yeah.
That's what that's about.
And it's not the first and last story of how people had done terrible things to other people. And that's why I know that there's evil in this world, because some of the things that people have done throughout history because of, you know, somebody looking different or basically having different belief system or, you know, even political views for that matter, or maybe it was just a case they had something like the land that somebody else thought that they, you know, would be better served if it was theirs, and it got stolen from them. So, you know, I'm saying, I know there's a lot of terrible atrocities, but here we are, we're in the year 2018, we're going to have to figure out something. We're going to have to figure out where we're going to go from here. Now that we're all stuck in this boat together, we're in a mess, and you know, we know what we've done to each other for all these years. And when I say we, I'm painting with a wide brush. I'm saying we as humanity, we've done some terrible things to each other, and we've kind of missed out on so much that could have been so wonderful. I mean, there are blessings galore if you're willing to accept them, if you're willing to not step over a miracle and recognize there's a miracle there, like that flower that you mentioned in the crack of the sidewalk. I mean, come on, that sidewalk was paved over, but somehow nature found a way to put some beauty back up through that ground. You see
and
what I'm saying?
And that's that, exactly. I mean, this is what, this is the power of life and the power of the Mother Earth and creation, that you can pave over, you know, live in cement, and you're walking along and there's a little crack in the sidewalk or the parking lot, and through that is coming this amazing little flower seeking light and giving what it gives, you know, for life to exist, you know. But I have to ask people, because I need to focus on this piece about believing in our system, our governmental system. And you know, I see people, how we are so duped and told and lied to by these political people who stand in front of us and tell us everything that we want to hear, we need to hear, and then they turn around once they get elected and do as they darn well please. you know, and they don't follow through, and they're, you know, in the manipulation business, basically, and they're in the corporate mind and the greed mind, you know, to basically take care of themselves and theirs, and the rest of the population can do whatever it wants. Nobody really cares. You know, this is across the board. You know, I think people may have... There are some good people in our political system. There are. Yeah. I'm not saying it's all across the board, but I guess what happens, it's sort of like something occurs to people, something shifts in them. This is a belief I have. I think we are all tempted. This is a belief I have. We will be tempted. And I guess that may be written somewhere. I don't know. Words of wisdom. We will all be tempted, right? Yeah. And tempted means we will all be tempted by something that doesn't want something good to happen or peace to happen or whatever, health or well-being. We will all be put to the test. I think this whole life, this experience here on Earth is a big test, is a big school, is a big opportunity to arise above, you know, the harm and the dirt and the manipulations and the terrible things that some people are caught in doing, because we will all be tempted, and therefore with the grace of God go I always say that, because, hey, you know, we have a term called, we say metakweo yasin, which means we are all related. So if you say we are all related, if you believe in this, that we are all related, metakweo yasin, then you cannot say, but that person over there, I hate him. I hate that person because he's doing this and he's doing that. So you're not following the words of our people that say metakweo yasin, we are all related. That's a brother and that's a sister. And even people who have goodness in their heart will say, I pray for those people. I don't spew hate out at them and disgust out at them, because I do not want to be responsible for that hate and disgust emanating out from me, going out throughout the sacred web, and eventually it's going to come back and hit me. What goes around comes around. So if you believe that we are all brothers and sisters here, but those over there, because you don't like what they're doing, and you're going to spew hate out and talk bad about them, where are you on the spiritual path? Because to me, this is where we are. We are on a spiritual path. This is a spiritual battle. It's the battle within ourselves, and it's a collective battle of the dark and the light. We are all subject to the test. We are all subject to the challenge. We will all be challenged. We will all be tested. And ultimately, I think this is the belief that you and I started to talk about, what the spiritual belief or our connectedness to some grand, something greater, something mysterious, something beyond our, you know, our knowing, fully knowing, but there's a sense that something is. Just look at the earth. Look at creation.
Yeah.
Look at this creation. It's awesome. It's extraordinary.
Belief also goes hand in hand with faith, you know. If you have faith in something and you believe it, it's a pretty powerful thing. There's been...
Well, faith can move mountains.
Oh,
we've
yeah.
talked about this. We have talked about this, and that's the key piece. It's sort of like, with all the things that are happening in the world that we know of, what are you going to achieve by screaming and talking hate about another person? What are you going to achieve? It doesn't achieve anything in my understanding, but okay. You can make a difference. So I say to people, we need to pray for President Trump. We need to pray for Putin. We need to pray for Assad. We need to pray for Netanyahu. We need to pray for all these leaders that they, you know, that they're touched and awakened by God, Creator, and that they shift their behavior into functioning for the good of all people.
You know, you said something right there that gave me a thought. My mom used to tell me that you teach people how to treat you.
That's right.
And so, you know, with that said, not to sound like I'm tooting my own horn, because I don't like that, but I notice that a lot of people that I hang around with are like really rough around the edges when I first start hanging around them, but I don't allow certain you know, jokes or whatever, you know, kind of actions that, you know, I'll speak out against it. You know, I don't tell them what to do with their life or anything like that. But, you know, if they're, like, cursing like a sailor, I might say, "Yo, foul mouth heathen, I'm going to have to get you a soap on the rope so I don't have to go get a bar of soap every time you're using that filthy language," you know. But nonetheless...
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying, is that...
Well, yeah. I mean, are you... I have to ask the question when I hear people... And I hear a lot of people, and I read things that people say, you know, like on Facebook or even on the journalists or even the media, and I just have to question, okay, what do these people really believe in, you know? I mean, what is the... What's going on here? What are they trying to create? They're obviously trying to create dissension and disunity and hate and vileness against persons, peoples, systems, whatever. But what is the end game here? I mean, what are we achieving by doing that? If you want peace, if you truly want peace in the world, if you truly want people to care for each other and for us to continue on as humanity to survive and our grandchildren and so on, we have to change our behavior.
Well, being most people out there actually, because they are angry at the system, they believe it's kind of justified to basically, I'm a rebel and so I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna cuss this or whatever, you know.
Well, because they believe that
yeah.
will make a difference, but I'm sorry, it's not going to make a difference. You're adding to the problem is basically what you're doing. So here we are back to the belief again. If you believe in a creator, if you believe in a power of prayer, which I do, if you believe in miracles, which I do, because I've seen and experienced many miracles, if you believe in this, what are you choosing to do from the belief, you know, that is filling you? Because if you believe, you know, in a grand, greater, omniscient something out there, the great mystery or this miracle that we are living, and life itself is a miracle, if you believe in that and you are participating in a lower frequency, lower energies, throwing out, you know, spewing out hatred and disgust and negativities, where are you in this equation of making change? What good is that doing to spew this stuff out? What kind of change are you seeking by doing that? Because you're not, it's not going to make change for the good. It's making change for the worst,
there was
in
a,
my estimation.
There was a certain individual that I used to listen to a long time ago, and he did this this kind of deal called What's Next, and he got pretty graphic in his language about the deal. But the thing is, What I'm trying to get here is I'm not trying to be a hypocrite. I'm not into censorship or anything like that. But the way that you deliver a message, because he had a good message. I mean, what he was actually trying to point out, you know, the hypocrisy of the system and the corruption and pointing it out. But the way that he delivered his message, it put a negativity on me that actually sent me away from what otherwise would have been some good information. Because If he could have delivered that in just a, you know, a little bit more respectful, maybe a few less F-bombs and, you know...
Right, that does no good, because that's an energy that affects me as well, and I think even if you're not aware of it, it's going to affect you somehow. Our language is powerful. This is what we must understand, is how powerful.
The point is that the way that he delivered his message stoked the fire of anger, not towards him, but towards the system. And when you get that many people in the world angry, and they start to rebel against the system, and then we end up with you know, riots or whatever, this is like, you're standing on a powder keg and you're playing with matches kind of deal. You see what I'm
Look,
saying?
Look, I agree with you. I think we must know what is going on in our political system. The political system is in big trouble. It's been for a long time. There are corrupt people in our political system, as there are in the religious system, education system, financial system. We know all this. But how are we going to get the people to make a change or hear that there is corruption, hear that there is, you know, people are tempted. When you are put on a pedestal and you have lots of money coming at you and power, you are subject, you're going to be subjected to temptations, and this is human nature. So I'm not saying that, for instance, Trump is clean and pure person. What I'm saying is that there is hate being spewed and lies about this man, and it's not fully the truth that is being spoken about him. I'm not saying he's an angel.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not
someone who might be slightly unhinged, getting that message.
That's happened.
Could be the one who tries to make an attempt to, or maybe in a successful attempt on this man's life. And, you know, you see, this is why I say that words, I know that words are so powerful that I carefully choose the words that come out of my mouth in order to try to be respectful to other people's belief systems and to be...
No, it's the way you speak about the corrupt person. It's
yeah.
the way you speak of, and you speak the truth about a person is corrupt and this is what they're doing, but you must know all the pieces. You can't just assume or surmise because mainstream media gave you a short clip about this or that and that's real and that's true. We have to be responsible for how we speak about the corruptness, about the persons that we are pointing fingers at. And I'm not saying we ignore it. I'm saying that it is our responsibility of the language that we use and how we give information and truths, but we must be responsible to know the whole truth and nothing but the truth.
Yeah,
I'm
know,
just saying.
You know that, and we got to say hi to Two Dog. He's been here for a while.
Yeah, I know. I'm just going to say hi to Two Dog. I'm going to get some coffee and...
Let me make this one comment real quick here. If I don't lose it, it's on the tip of my brain. Doggone, I think I already lost it. Anyway, basically I was going to talk about how these words, people don't realize your voice, the power of the spoken word is so much... There's so much power in there that wars have quite literally been started over words. You know, and somebody could have said, well, such and such, like the Hatfield-McCoy example that we give all the time, that these folks, you know, got in a fight over something that the one perceived, the other one did it in some words, and years down the line, after generations of people had tormented and killed each other, a couple of the younger ones are kind of like, do you even know what this feud started over? And one of them thought it was over like a pig, one of them thought it was over something else, and one of them thought it was because somebody said something to somebody that they didn't appreciate or whatever. But nonetheless, that little example of a feud is one of the things that you actually can see overseas in places like, you know, Iran and Afghanistan and Iraq and all the, you know, Middle Eastern countries where there's two separate portions of the same religion or ideological views or whatever, that, you know, they don't like the other's point of view on what they perceive that their religion's supposed to stand for, what's allowed or what ain't allowed. And so for thousands of years, these folks have been fighting over words, and they've been fighting over land. You know, who has rights to the holy ground or whatever. And it's a perpetual, ongoing thing, but it's powerful words that keep that going. You see what I mean?
Well, yes, and the thing is, I'm going to say this, is that we have to know who is manipulating our minds and our words.
Yeah.
Because there is that manipulation going on. People plant seeds because they want to have control over a population, or they need land, or they want the oil here or there or whatever. Weapons of mass destruction was the biggest lie that got us into that Iraq war. I knew there was no weapons of mass destruction just because that's what Spirit told me. But everybody was up in arms, and those were the people who took down the towers, the 9/11 and all that stuff. All a big manipulation and a lie, but the people were swept up in this because the authorities told them, you see.
Well, the power of propaganda relies on people's willingness to believe in the story enough that they go out and repeat the story to somebody else who might be a potential believer.
That can lead you into the worst nightmare for you know, that's where we are. Okay.
How's it going,
Two Dog? What's
Phil?
How are you doing?
Sorry we got to rambling there too much.
No, that's fine. That's just fine.
You got
One of the things that I can actually say, all right, you know, as far as mainstream media and this MS-13 and all immigrants or animals or whatever, when he said it, I knew exactly what he meant. You know, I knew he was talking about MS-13. He wasn't talking about all immigrants and stuff like that. As far as manipulative, you know, we're being manipulated.
Oh, that's, definitely. Definitely, you know, without
a doubt. That's without a doubt. People ask me all the time, you know, if, as a leader of my little band, would I sit with the President of the United States? But yes, I would. I have some questions myself. You know, but...
Well, now, that would be a good thing. If you could actually sit down with him on a one-on-one and actually hear the words coming out of his mouth specifically, you know, that's about the best way you're ever going to be able to formulate a doggone opinion on him. Because, you know, there's people that's for him, there's people that's against him, and they both got two different stories on there. And, you know, the information that's coming to you, you can't really necessarily verify it until you actually speak to the man himself. It's kind of like, you know, when somebody does something wrong and they have the opportunity to come into court and, you know, try to explain their side of the story. Hey, this is what I really said, or this is what I really done, and, you know, put their evidence down on the table. That's why I'm really cautious about it. I'm not saying Trump's a good guy or anything like that. I'm just saying that I'm always cautious when it comes to any politician. I don't care whether they're supposedly mainstream politician or anybody that is in a leadership role, so to speak. I'm always cautious and I'm always observing, because these guys, like Barbara mentioned earlier, will say whatever they have to say to get elected, and then once they're in there at that seat of power, then their actions is going to speak for the truth. You see what I mean?
Well, yeah, you know, what I've understood since, you know, I've been following this since Kennedy, you know, since John Kennedy, okay? That's telling my age. I just turned 59 years old a few days ago, okay? One of the things I've understand and have always understood, I don't care what politician it is, if you speak about something makes me feel good, I go vote for you, then you do what you want to do when you get there. I've never known a politician that wasn't that way.
There's another joke about how do you know when a politician is lying, and then I guess the punchline is he's speaking.
That's it. To be honest, that's it. Now, here's a thing, okay? I was watching him as he was running, okay? I watched the whole thing. We didn't really have no choice in these things, because, to be honest, you don't. They're both, you know, you got Democrat, you got Republican. They're both snakes, okay? Because, to be honest, that they are. Now, I know in wartime, okay, people do get captured. You know, it happens.
Yeah.
The man goes, you know, okay, as far as John McCain, I don't trust John McCain either. He's a politician. Now, here's my point. I don't consider John McCain a war hero because he got captured. I don't like my heroes to be captured. Okay. Well, that made me go, oh my God. Just for a minute, okay? But, you know, what people talk about when they're trying to get in this kind of power?
Yeah, and I get your point on that, you know, about, you know, not being a hero because they were captured. But the question is, did that man, did he intentionally volunteer to go serve his country, and regardless of whether he got himself captured or not, he put himself on the line Now, I don't like John McCain because of some of his dealings with the way he was supposedly a Republican, used to be a Democrat, and then he's a Republican again, and, you know, he would basically sway from what he said his platform was, if you understand what I'm saying. But nonetheless, as far as him being in the military and, you know, getting himself captured and stuff like that, and there's a story about how they tortured him and made him say some things that, you know, he shouldn't have said. You know, you're supposed to be able to withstand the torture. But nonetheless, putting all that stuff aside, the man put his neck on the line, and for that, you know, that's the hero status that, you know, every veteran who does go out there because they believe that they're fighting for truth and justice, that's, you know, they should get the credit for that, is what I'm saying.
Well, you know, in our ways, and this is what we do in our powwows, okay? When we hold our powwow, we invite the veterans, and we've had veterans from World War II up, okay? And we honor them people. You know, we take them in and have a veteran stance with them. Okay? The fact of the matter is, you know, he did get captured, but that's what happens in war as well.
Yeah. I'm anti-war. I don't want it. And as far as I'm concerned, and I know you probably feel the same, is that war should be the very, very, very last resort. I mean, you should be able to try until you're blue in the face negotiating a truce with you know, whoever it is, unless they're, you know, rushing directly into your country and attacking your people and you have no other alternative to fight back. I think war should be a very last resort, but we have seen and you've seen that these doggone supposed military actions or conflicts, they're not even calling them wars anymore, but anytime there's two people shooting each other, that to me is a war.
That's what it is.
Yeah. But they are doing this under our name, under your name, under my name, under all the veterans out there. They're telling these veterans that there were weapons of mass destruction or there were terrorists and we got to go fight, and if you're a patriot, you'll join the military and you'll go over and fight these people. Well, wait a second. I think about time for all these soldiers to take a step back and say, hold on a second. Let's get things sorted out first before we go in there and start killing people, you know?
Well, let me explain myself, okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
When you have a high up in the American government, right, and she's sitting in the UN right now, and says things like, if you don't do like this, we speak for the American people and we will go to war. Well, you don't speak for me. I speak for myself, and I don't want that.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, if you asked probably at least 80% of the population of any nation, they would say, no, we don't want to go to war. First off, it's expensive as all get out. We're wasting money that we could be doing something positive for the world. Like, imagine all the money spent on all the bombs, just the bombs alone. Take that money, those millions, of, if not billions or more dollars, and go out and build homes for the shelters for the homeless, go out there and feed the hungry and do research to heal the sick and so on and so forth. The ridiculousness that we see in wartime is that we go over and we destroy a nation. Oh, we send them back into the Stone Age and then we send our companies in there to go fix it back up, but at the same time, charging them a price. And that's that's the dirty secret of war, is it's a money-making machine for the industries, the medical, the military, the, anything weapons-related, food, you name it. Whatever you use in your normal daily life, it's involved in basically feeding, housing, and clothing the soldiers as they're in a foreign land and destroying you know, laying waste to somebody else's deal because somebody said somebody was a terrorist. Well, if the United Nations had any teeth whatsoever, if they had the respect of the world, then the United Nations could go to this particular country and they say, look, this particular guy we believe is involved in terrorist acts, and we would like to bring them and before a trial and you know, sort this thing out before you go into it. And if they're using the leadership as an example or an excuse why to go in there because the leadership supposedly supporting terrorism, well, the leadership ain't speaking for the average Joe out there. It's the average Joe that's going to pay the ultimate price with their family's lives.
Well, you know, it's like I hear what you're talking about, and I think what we need to know is, again, it's like the whole system for generations has been about war.
Yeah.
Has been to many. It's not just Nikki Haley. It's not just this one here or that one today. The whole across the board for generations. And basically, I say we were never a free country. We were never a democracy. We're really a republic. But anyway, we still are the serfs. We still have the kings and queens on the top of the hill over there, and we don't own our property. We don't have freedoms, and they're taking more and more away. And this is the cabal and the elite. They're all the same for generations all over the world. It's not just here in America. So it's not just so-and-so now, today. This is the system we have lived under, and until people get that peace and stop screaming about one person or two people today, it is the whole dirty system that have basically ruled us, owned us, and have violated, murdered, and committed genocide upon their own people. That's what we're going through here.
Let me add to that, grandmother.
Yeah.
Okay. And here's what I want to say to you. America has been at war since its beginning.
That's right.
Yeah.
And let me say it like this. Actually, it's been at war since before its beginning.
That's right.
And I can say it like this. You have the French and Indian War, okay?
Uh-huh.
Between France and England, all right? And at one time, you had New York Mohawk firing on Canadian Mohawk, or Canadian Mohawk firing on New York Mohawk. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Let me throw a...
Well, so let's talk about that too, Doug, because this is the thing. You see, this is also, you're going way back to the beginning here, and we're just talking now about Turtle Island, because this has happened throughout the world. So what I hear you saying is that the people, the Indian people, the Canadian Mohawks, and the New York Mohawks, and so on, and this is across the board, that the cabal, the dirty ones, got these people to fight each other for their dirty deeds.
Yeah.
And this is what we have to stop doing.
And that's why I want to throw another rabbit hole on the table, because it goes along with just exactly what you just said about getting them people to fight against their own people.
Yeah.
Is that there's a rabbit hole out there. It was talking about how all these trillions of dollars is coming up missing, and actually it's bringing life to a sort of a new kind of conspiracy theory about how the elite of the world have been funneling trillions of dollars through groups like NASA and other organizations, government agencies, and quite literally been building a underground
and North
city.
Korea,
yeah,
and Iran,
underground cities all over the world for the global elite. And when you first hear it, it sounds crazy. You know how somebody could get by with that, with all the people that would be involved with having to, you know, drive trucks up into caves and so on and so forth. But there's been a lot of truck drivers who say that they have been driving through caves that go on for miles and miles
right.
and miles underground. And so when you start wondering where all these, if you think about $1 trillion, what is it, like $100 billion or something like that? $100 billion or something like that. It's a trillion. Anyway, I don't know the actual deal. It's just mind-boggling when you talk about trillion. But all this money and everything that they have been doing all this time to keep us up here, if let's call us the surface dwellers and they're the moles or whatever, they've been keeping us fighting each other and going to war and making all this money with the military industrial complex, which they then in turn funnel into building them a bunker for their grand plan, which could be like AKA World War III, you know, depopulation on a mass scale. You get people into World War III and you've already got your bunker set up. That's the mother of all conspiracies there. You see what I mean?
But now, I want to talk about the people, the original people, and because I hear people saying out there, listeners are saying, yeah, but the Indians fought each other and killed each other too. But I have to say that it was a whole different type of warring, right?
War.
A whole different type of warring. It was not to commit genocide. It was not to completely obliterate a people. They had their skirmishes, they did, over properties, and they would steal horses and this one, that, and so on and so forth. But they did not have the types of destructive weapons, number one, and their mindset was not to commit genocide like it is today on a whole people or a nation. It was a different type of thing. We even had the counting coup, which basically was the biggest, I guess you'd say, the most respected warrior would be one who counted coup on the enemy, which means you touch the enemy and you move away. You don't take the life of that enemy. No, you count coup. You go into the midst of the battle and everything's going on and you run up to the opposite side and you count coup upon them. That was when you earned an eagle feather. That made you the most revered warrior. That's a type of mindset. And when the Europeans started coming and, you know, I mean, you're talking about violent murder, rape upon women, children, old people, stuff that was going on that was pretty stunning to the Indian people, because they would never do those kinds of things. But that's what was brought to here on the Turtle Island and other places in the world by those people who were manipulated to fight the dirty wars, to do violence for the cabal and the elite, okay? Now, what happens to a person? You know, I was reading a book recently. What the heck was this book? I'm reading a book about the early part of the country here on Turtle Island and the fight against slavery, the abolitionists, right? I was looking at the types of people that were slave owners that wanted to keep slaves and the people who hated the slavery idea and that system. And a lot of these people running around in the plains in the early parts of this country weren't educated people. Okay, now I'm not saying that just because they weren't educated that they couldn't be good people. But I am saying that a lot of these people were radical people. They were uneducated. They came from Europe. They wanted land. You know, they were promised land and so on, and then the slave situation came in. And sure, you know, you needed a slave because you had lots of property and so on. So the issue I'm getting at here is the type of human being. What is this that happens to us where an authority tells you, and it's still going on today with wars as we know, Afghanistan and so on, what type of a human being, what happens to that person when an authority stands in front of you and says that in order to be a patriot here, you must go over there and you must violate and murder these people? But then what happens? Because, well, you're told these people aren't human, number one.
Yeah.
You are brainwashed to believe. You are brainwashed to believe that these people aren't human, okay? That happened here. They were told the Indians weren't human. They were told that black people weren't human. They didn't have a soul. So if you have no awareness or education where you can think for yourself and you are dependent upon the system, you are dependent upon the cabal, and you're going to be given free whatever you think, what prompts a person, a young man in an instance, to go over to Vietnam, for instance, And we know the military does brainwash these young people. It breaks you down and restructures you.
Excuse me. I had to sneeze.
Restructures you into the way they want you to function. They want you to become a violator, a murderer.
Well, they
need that. So my question is, we've heard about stories, and this has happened throughout all wars, but I'm just talking right now about the Vietnam War, reading of the atrocities that our young men perpetrated upon innocent women and children. It's stunning. It's pretty shocking, and you think, wow, this could never happen with our American boys. But you see these things. This happened here on Turtle Island from the beginning. What happened where they would take, mutilate women, young men, soldiers, you mutilate women and use the parts of the women for whatever, pouches or bags. And I mean, what happens to a human being? This is what I'm looking at, because I'm just saying, therefore the grace of God go I. But what happens? You have to be manipulated and brainwashed,
well,
I think.
They also went as far as manipulating people to actually put their own, you know, sell their own people into slavery and, you know, turn their own people in. You know, when you talk about a different nation like Vietnam or something like that, there were two sides of that doggone war down there. And, you know, both sides were doing some pretty terrible things. But you're right about, you know, just in the Civil War alone, I don't know why they ever called it a Civil War, but because some of the stories that I've heard about what they actually did to people, they went and burned entire towns down. All right, they were going to make sure that the other side couldn't get a foothold in the town, and so instead of, you know, putting their army there to keep people out of the town or whatever and allowing the people to go about their business and live, they just burned them out. And they did a lot of terrible things to the women and the, you know, even the children out there. You know, just because, you know, this supposed war, you know. It blows my mind. There's that phrase again. It blows my mind to see through history what people will actually do to each other. You know, some in the case of
it's all about belief. What you believe in.
Yeah.
You see, it's what you believe in. You see, you are told what to believe by the cabal, by the powers that be. You are told what to believe from the time you're a child. So when you don't even have your own personal belief.
Yeah.
You can't make a decision and a determination to say, this is wrong, I will not take part in this.
Yeah. And I think if I would have been alive back during the slave trade days, I would have been part of the Underground Railroad trying to get people to freedom, you know?
Look, here's a little bit of history that a lot of people don't know, okay? The African people and the Haitian people and the Indian people all together, you know, they were people with the drum, okay? So a lot of time during the Underground Railroad and other things like that, we married into them, with them, okay? So when the slave owners would come and say, we want our property back, which is a human being, I never got that idea of how that could be a property. But anyway, what would happen is the Indian people would go, that's my wife, that's my child. If you want them back, come get them.
Yeah. Well,
in other words, you're not going to get them. And,
you're right. I mean, there was intermarriage through the different nations because the slaves would escape and go into territories in the most remote places where the Indian people had already gone to escape, you know, forced to escape and survive, like in the Everglades, you know, the Seminole people and various other places. But I want to just say, again, that's right. I have to keep talking about beliefs. What is it that people believe when they could actually, and the atrocities that were done to slaves, for instance, I'm just going to talk right now about the black people, but the slaves themselves that were shackled with things around their necks and chains and those metal things around their ankles where they would rub sores or beat them or brand them with a hot branding with the name or sign of a slave owner or whip them to the point where there were raised deep scars tracking across the backs of women, children, men. What is it that prompts this? What does the person believe? Think about that belief. I am a lord and I own you. You are my property and I can do with you as I please. You are not a human being. I was told that you're not human. I like that because then I could do with you what I want.
Well, that disgusts me to my core because I can't visualize doing that to any human for any reason, you know.
I can say it like this, my brother and sister. This is what what I've actually heard, and this is during one Black History Month, and I did not know this. So check out the Constitution and see if this is real or not. That it actually still states in the Constitution that a black man is only 3/4 human.
I don't know.
That's actually still in there.
I'll have to look into it. Here's
another thing of history that I speak about. And in America, they do not know. They still don't know. That, I speak a lot about the people that have been lost here. In other words, nations. All right? And when I speak of the Yahi out of California, and the last one died in 1934 as far as Ishi is concerned, nobody knows who they are. But they were hunted down like rabbits. Like deer. And annihilated. And we lost the last of that nation in 1934. So, what do we believe?
Well, my question is, are those of us who have goodness in our heart and see that there could be hope for the future, are we going to be able to find something within our belief, like the strength to try to... We know the histories. We know all the atrocities. We need to figure out from 2018 the solution of how to get where it is that we would like to see our world go. And obviously the leadership that we've chosen for ourselves, maybe not chosen, I don't know. It's hard to say because, you know, elections are rigged all the time.
I didn't choose it.
I'm going to read this here to you because I'm very curious about this, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
Okay. 150 years ago, the 13th Amendment officially was ratified, and with it, slavery finally was abolished in America. Okay. 150 years ago, the New York World hailed it, or I'm sorry, the New York World hailed it as one of the most important reforms ever accomplished by voluntary human agency. The newspaper said that the amendment takes out of politics and consigns to history an institution incongruous to all political systems, inconsistent with justice and repugnant to the humane sentiments fostered by Christian civilization. With the passage of the 13th Amendment, which states that neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction, the central contradiction at the heart of the founding was resolved. 89 years after the Declaration of Independence had proclaimed all men to be free and equal, race-based chattel slavery would be no more in the United States. While all today recognize this momentous accomplishment, many remain confused about the status of slavery under the original Constitution. Textbooks and history books routinely dismiss the Constitution as racist and pro-slavery. The New York Times, among others, continues to casually assert that the Constitution affirmed African Americans to be worth only 3/5 of a human being. Ironically, many Americans who are resolutely opposed to racism unwittingly agree with Chief Justice Roger Taney's claim that the founders' Constitution regarded blacks as so far inferior that they had no rights, which the white man was bound to respect, and that the Negro might justly and lawfully be reduced to slavery for his benefit. In this view, the worst Supreme Court case decision in American history was actually correctly decided. The argument that the Constitution is racist suffers from one fatal flaw. The concept of race does not exist in the Constitution. So, the argument that the Constitution is racist suffers from one fatal flaw. That the concept of race does not exist in the Constitution. Nowhere in the Constitution, or in the Declaration of Independence, for that matter, are human beings classified according to race, skin, color, or ethnicity, nor one should add sex, religion, or any other of the less favored groupings. Our founding principles are colorblind, although our history, regrettably, has not been. Yeah. So the Constitution actually speaks of people, citizens, persons, other persons, which is a euphemism, by the way, for slaves and Indians, not taxed. In which case, it is their tax-exempt status and not their skin color that matters. So, this is the Three-Fifths Clause. That's what it's called. The infamous Three-Fifths Clause, which more nonsense has been written than any other clause, does not declare that a black person is worth 60% of a white person. It says that for purpose of determining the number of representatives for each state in the House, the government would count only 3/5 of the slaves and not all of them, as the southern states, who wanted to gain more seats, had insisted. So you have the 60,000 or so free blacks in the north, and the south were counted on par with whites.
Wow. Well, that's how you get to the truth, man. That's how you do it. And, you know, as shameful as some of the things are in history, I keep coming back to the same thing. We're here in the year 2018. Where are we going to go? Where are we, the people, going to go? Are we going to continue to allow this entire system to continuously send our families to war against one another? Are we going to continue to allow the propaganda machine to manipulate us and separate us with labels and colors and everything else that they can use to divide us?
Well, the whole sad thing about this country, and it's right here, the original Constitution, if you were a visitor from a foreign land, you would simply have no way of knowing that race-based slavery did exist in America.
Yeah.
You know, this is the thing. So you have, the Constitution does not explicitly recognize slavery and does not therefore admit that slaves were property. All the protections it affords to persons could be applied to slaves. Any one of these provisions in the hands of abolition statesmen and backed up by a right moral statement would put an end to slavery in America, you know. So this is the whole thing, is that there was slavery across the board, you know, but it's not written in the Constitution. Because there was no such word as, you know, it wasn't used. It was people or others, right?
Well, there's slavery going on to this very day of all different types. And it needs to stop, you know, but the only way that any of this negativity that we keep talking about is ever going to stop is whenever you finally get through the minds and hearts of the masses out there of where their true power really, really lies. If people believe, well, the government's so strong, you know, there ain't nothing we could ever do about it, you know, and I always hear this about, you know, the notorious they. They won't allow you to do this. Or they have secret weapons that they are going to, you know, if you try to do anything about it, you're going to kill us all or whatever, you know. But it's got to come a time in humanity's existence when the good people of the world finally step up and say, no, that's not happening again. We're done. And, you know, it takes a man to pick up a gun, you know, to fire it. And somebody to take a life. Now, if these soldiers aren't willing to, until they know that that it's justified, you know, flat out self defense of your nation, because, you know, they're coming after you or whatever. But it's not just the soldiers in war who have to suffer through war. There are so many people who have lost their families that the graves are just too many to count. And I keep going back to that little Palestinian, the two little Palestinian girls and the reporter, when the reporter asked those Palestinian girls, do you ever want peace with Israel? And their words were, no, we hate Israel, they killed our mommy and daddy. Well, if you put that same question on the other side of the fence, you're probably more than likely going to get the same exact result. So at a very young age, they're taught via the circumstance and the reaction of what went on during this wartime, they lost their mom and dad. And this is a perpetual thing that they will be the future fighters. They will be the future spies or whatever. Somehow or another, humanity's got to find a way to break those chains, to find a way to bring healing to the nations of the world.
And there are other stories, though, the beautiful stories where Palestinians and Israelis got together, families that had, you know, issues of death, loss, and so, and they come together and heal. This does happen too.
Yeah.
And this is what has to happen more and more, because the pattern of the cabal and the elite need everybody to hate each other, number one. They implant this system, systematic hate, race, prejudice, violence. And they set up things so that, yeah, so there you go, your family's killed, whatever, and then you're blaming the common people who just happen to live on the other side of that wall. I'm just saying, it is about us, it is about all people of all colors, you know, I don't like to say race, but we are rainbow colors. You know, we're black, red, yellow, and white, brown, we are meant to be coming together at this timeline in unity, standing up against this vile cabal that needs us, uses us, enslaves us, and brainwashes us to hate each other and to go to war and die for them.
It reminds me of a story, and I don't know whether it's factual. I, from my understanding, it was based on a true story, but there was a story one time where there was a German soldier and an American soldier that during a holiday season such as Christmas, that they actually took a break from fighting, sat down in the middle of the battlefield.
So these were whole platoons. They were fighting and fighting and fighting. They were in the trenches. And on Christmas Eve, they all stopped fighting. They all stood up. Many of them came together in the middle of the battlefield and started sharing their rations and singing Christmas songs and whatever. They couldn't understand each other's language, but they all knew the Christmas songs, didn't they?
Yeah.
Next day, they got back together in the trenches and started killing each other again. What is that?
I don't know, but for that moment, that moment of peace in the middle of that, that's what I believe true humanity is all about, and that's what I'd like to see more of.
But can I share something with you real quick?
Yeah.
I know you see the picture that I've got on my Skype right now.
Yeah.
Okay. And that is a picture of Wiltshire from England, and they come here and sat with me on the 2nd, okay? And they said what an honor that was to still see his flag that was flying with mine. That's what I'm talking about. I'm trying to use this.
Is that the green striped one there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the Wiltshire flag in England.
Right.
And it flew with mine when we met. And I'm trying to use these flags as the old Iroquois Confederacy thing with the one arrow and the bundle.
Yep.
Now, here's what I said, what he spoke to us about. And he said how great and how wonderful that made him feel when he came up my driveway to see that. The fact of the matter is, we're doing it. We're talking.
Yep.
And if you... He came all the way from the UK just to sit with us. And it was an honor to do this. And matter of fact, I received the flag of Virginia And in it, it stated that they actually had a ceremony and flew it over the capital of Richmond, Virginia, before they sent it to me.
Wow, that's cool.
But here's my point. We now hold 69 and more coming. But the point being is that something good's happening here. And I'm not, I don't want to stop this.
Well, I'm with you all the way, brother.
It can work. It can work.
Well,
it's the people
yeah.
that are doing it. It's the people, the human beings, the common people, the people of the yeah. nations that are doing this, not the elite, not the politicians. No. Nobody on the top pyramid is doing this. It's the people, and yeah. that's what we have. So that's a beautiful thing, and that can be done, as you're showing, as you're proving.
That's the point to be made right there, just like you said. It's the people, and that's what it. We need representatives from the average Joe. We're not looking for leaders because they could show if they wanted, but they don't. And they don't come down to visit with the people unless it's a photo op involved or something to gain.
Let me put this to you loosely. Now, I do hold the flag of Kentucky, the state flag of Kentucky. I do hold that. But has any high official from Kentucky sat with me? No.
Nope.
And
I'm going to say you're bringing the nations together. You see, United Nations. This is how it should be, you know. And the United Nations has an agenda that is not really for the people, but you know the United Nations, the UN. But you're bringing the people together, uniting the nations.
That's the deal right there, and that's the power that I've been talking about all along, is that of all the people in the world, very few are in that top 1 or 2 or maybe even 3% of leadership and kings and queens and so on and so forth. It's the rest of the masses that need to understand that if we decide that we want to come together. These folks, they don't have armies anymore. They don't have people willing to go out there and shoot each other for no apparent reason other than somebody said that they, you know, there's a terrorist or whatever. We get our facts together, and we do like the tribes used to do. They didn't go into war lightly. They sat around and they talked to everybody. Everybody knew the ramifications of a war. Everybody knew that ahead of time, and they knew whether or not it was agreed upon by everybody that this is a necessity that we can't avoid. We're trying to send out somebody to negotiate peace, but if this doesn't come down, we're going to have to go to war. We don't want to, but you see the difference between how that system and how our modern day system is. We elect these representatives, and you know they speak on our behalf and do things, going into war, dropping bombs. Is like ask the average Joe whether or not they think they should drone strike people. You know, you'll have the little flag waving red team or blue team groupies that will say, yeah, bomb the bleep out of them, you know. But they, if that was their family, would they want somebody on the other side waving that little banner and saying the same about their family? You see my point?
Yeah, you know, that's what people need to understand there. Right there. If it was you and your family, how would you feel about that?
Yeah. That's the thing. That's the whole entire thing in a nutshell. But we got to empower the people. We got to inspire the people to not only believe in themselves, but to believe in each other. You know, if there was a way that where you could turn the color thing off, that would solve part of the equation, because they've been indoctrinated all their lives to believe in differences. You know, we're all different. Every single person on this planet is different. There are no two people exactly alike. Even the exact twins, you know, what they call triplets, doubles, whatever, even if they're identical twins, they still are different. They're different in their attitudes, they're different, some physical, you know, scar, or there's no two people on this planet who are the same, yet we will find this little group of, terms and labels to separate each other. When in reality, if everybody was wanting to be truthful, everybody's different. There's nobody the same. But we're all family, and we all bleed the same doggone color, no matter what we look like, or what we act like, or what we believe in. Exactly. You know what I mean? And so how do you get that mindset? How do you get that mindset out to the masses?
Well, it is in our hands, the people's hands. They're not powerless. They're just non-functioning.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm going to say this, man, because I actually saw this, and I actually understood, because in some parts, I hear people going, the Civil War is not over yet. You know, and in their minds, that battle's still going. They saying the cannon smoke ain't cleared yet. They actually still believe that the Civil War from 1865 is still happening.
You know something? There was a few stories that came out about Japanese soldiers being on islands that were basically forgotten, and they never even knew the war was over.
Yeah, to 1980 something like that. They still thought it was going on.
The Hatfields and McCoys, they got to the point where finally they had to ask, what the heck have we been fighting over? Does anybody know what this feud is really about? You know? But it's a perpetual thing.
Let's look, and I'm going to go with Grandma for just a minute also, but let's look at this. You had Jesus Christ and you got the peacemaker, and they were actually, it's the same message, okay?
Yep.
But here's what I'm going to say. In Hiawatha's time, there's been a great war with the people, and they had this war going on so long that they didn't even know what the fight was about. Okay? And actually, the peacemaker was actually born to a virgin mother. Okay?
That's correct.
So here's my point. Within this peacemaker and how he brought the Iroquois Confederacy together, okay, in my viewpoint, it's not about the messenger, but did you get the message?
Yeah, that's the deal. That's it, right there.
Well, this is interesting because, you know, this I talk about this a lot, about the beings, call them holy beings or messengers that Great Spirit Creator sent to the earth at different periods of time throughout millennia. Could be thousands of years apart. And the peacemaker came here to Turtle Island long before Yeshua showed up in Middle East. So the peacemaker came, and the story is it was born of a virgin. In Egypt, there's another one that came, same thing, born of a virgin. Viracocha came to Peru in a great ship of light. He was the same, brought the same message of living in the way Yeshua, peacemaker, all of them brought the same message. And Viracocha was a creator being, called a creator being. And he even looked like Yeshua and the peacemaker. You can Google, he walked the Americas. That's about the peacemaker, and the people describe what he looked like and the miracles and what he spoke about. Then you have Kankukan, the feathered serpent in the South America, same thing, same messenger. And then you have Buddha, same messenger, you know, peace, living in harmony, and so on and so forth. And then you have the white buffalo calf woman, Peskawin, who came, who brought the same message, you know. And I don't think there's been one since then, a messenger. I think that, I think we got plenty of messages, and I think it's sort of like, the people didn't get it, and the people are still fighting, and the people are still hating each other, and the people are not, what we call walking in a sacred manner. They're separated, and they're spewing hatred and war, and violating the Mother Earth, and, you know, I do feel that we are given a period here of time to get it. I think we're in a timeline here, I'm going to say. I call it the period of grace, but for a while there I thought the grace period was ended, but I also got the message that this is a timeline, that we do have an opportunity here to raise the frequency of love, togetherness, unity, compassion. And this is a very key piece, because again it goes back to, what do you believe? Do you believe in peace? Do you believe in that? I believe Creator created everything possible, everything that we would ever need, and peace is one of them. I do believe that peace exists, love exists, compassion exists, the joy of life and all that, unity does exist. We have to align ourselves with that frequency that Creator is emanating upon this Mother Earth out of the love of the creation, love of the children, you know, created us all as sacred children. And then the dark entity, Lucifer, whatever you want to say, it does not matter who, whatever, it caught some people, trapped some people. They sold their soul to the devil because they were promised everything they could imagine. Oh, you can have anything you can imagine, no matter how vile it is. You can have it as long as you do my work, as long as you work for me. And that's the temptation that everyone is met with. We are all tempted, we are all challenged by that dark. It is ever present. It is working its way through to try to get people, you know, to sell their soul, to do harm. And I believe we're given this opportunity. It's the time of enlightenment in the fifth world, 1,000 years of peace. And that's a frequency. It's a frequency of the highest that you could ever imagine. And we are given the opportunity through our beliefs and the choices that we make, which is free will, to either align ourselves with that fifth world, 1,000 years of peace, or stay in the fourth world of chaos and the nightmare that we see rising and elevating itself all around us. This is where we are.
Now, to what Two Dog was saying about, did you get the message, even in the Christian religious portion of the society, there are several different denominations of what should have been the same message, but people disagree on, you know, different aspects of what, you know, the word says and so on and so forth, enough that they separate themselves under different labels, you know, difference between, like, say, Baptist and Pentecostal and all that kind of stuff. There are ways that they had read the book that, you know, are different. The same way in the Middle East, where you have like different sections of basically the same religion under different names. I can't even remember. One of them I think was Sunni, and the other one I can't remember what they are, but you get the point that even in every single spiritual belief, there are different, they separated themselves from the original message because of a disagreement of what the word was supposed to be to begin with, you know. Everybody can agree that you should treat each other right, you know, and love each other. Everybody can agree on that. But if you're taking your community and you're dividing it up between Baptist, Pentecostal, Southern Baptist, or whatever type of, denomination. I don't know how many denominations of the Christian church are actually out there. And Catholicism, which is always mistaken for Christianity, is a totally different system than what, you know, like what I believe in. Right? And so, that muddies up the water. You see what I'm saying? And the history of Christianity and all the different denominations and different churches or whatever, organizations, it's hard for anybody to be able to step into that belief system and use that as a spiritual guidance for their life, if you understand what I'm trying to say here. Because of all the different, it's like the Democrats, you know, there's a terminology in the Republican side, they call it RINO. It's a Republican in name only, because they say that the Democrats had, like, quite literally infiltrated the Republican Party and you see that by their actions and the way they voted or whatever. Every single organization, whether it be good or bad, had been infiltrated by somebody at some time to manipulate the agenda to their favor, whichever way they wanted to go. Even to the forming of this country right here. You had Masonic influence in the forming of this country, but you also had the other side as a representative, people that actually believed in what it was that they were talking about as making a free country. And so even during the signing of the Declaration of Independence all the way down to the United States Constitution, there were people volleying for power in a system. It's like, if you're the king over there, why would you want to keep on sending your men over there to get killed because it's costing you all your fortune? You might as well just say, all right, we're going to make them believe that they're free, but we're not letting go of power over these people. We'll find a way to get basically blend in with them, tax them just like we always did before without them even knowing it, and potentially even having them give consent to give us their money. You see what I'm saying? And that's why people been manipulated all these doggone years. I mean, if they can manipulate tribes into going out and attacking other tribes to sell them to the slave traders, or, you know, one faction of the Native Americans to fight against the other faction of the Native Americans, these are all the people fighting against each other for a corrupt system they should have never have been.
Well, you had in the Civil War, you also had General Stan Waddy, which is actually a Salagi, the Cherokee, and you had the Cherokee and Choctaw Brigades that fought for the South, okay?
Yeah.
But the South said, if we win this war, you get part of your land back.
And did they hold up to their truth? Did they hold up to their promise?
No.
That's the thing. As the politicians and the people want to give, they'll promise you the sun and the moon and never deliver.
Surprise.
Yeah. That's why it's up to the average Joe to do like what Two Dog's doing and bringing the nations together. We don't need the organizations called the United Nations. We need the United Nations via the actual people.
Now,
the actual people who get it.
Is this, let me be blunt with you here. Okay, this is the thing, my brother. All that I'm doing, all that the Western Lenape is doing, all I'm doing, it ain't about me.
I realize that.
Here's the thing, I'm sitting with normal, everyday people from these places.
Yep.
Because it is the people. That's what I'm here for. It's the people. It's not about me at all. So I'm sitting with normal, everyday people about what's going on in their country and how we can help each other.
Yep.
That's the main point. And if you want to think about it, I'm not just talking to nations, but I'm talking to counties in England. I'm talking to states in America. I'm talking everywhere, man. I want to come together as a human being and not look at color whatsoever. It ain't about color. The rainbow prophecy is happening.
Well, and we are seeing forward progress. We are actually seeing the veil being lifted. I honestly believe that that's actually what's going on right now. The roaches are scurrying. They're in panic mode. They're telling desperate lies. Even though they know that we know they're lying, they're still telling it nonetheless, hoping that most enough people will believe to affect the next election cycle or whatever. So,
now,
we're making progress.
Let me say this, that I've been offered on People for People Radio a spot on Tuesday, 9 o'clock p.m. UK time. Be 3 o'clock my time here in America.
Well, I hope you take it, brother, because I think you got a lot to share with the world.
What I've done is I've accepted a radio show, and I'm going to say this: it's called Nation to Nation, and our first show it will be with a woman by the name of Ellen Von Cotter. and she's from South Africa, so she'll be our first guest on there. And her child is, I think, 8 to 10 years old, and he actually has the same cancer that my daughter has, and she's fighting it, so she'll be our first guest on Tuesday.
Wow, that's cool. That's awesome. I love to hear when that stuff happens too, because I want to see more shows like this be born, and that's one of the main things that I was hoping to gain from the Knights of the Round Table, was to inspire more people. I'd like to see a youth version of the Knights of the Round Table.
What I'm going to say, my brother, is Shaziz, you and Grandma Three Crow, Patty Walking Turtle, who I want to talk to, Scotland. I want to talk to everybody, so, you know, I've accepted the show, so the show's called Nation to Nation, and we're just going to talk and see if we can help.
Make sure that whenever you get ready to do your show, you post it over there in the super chat, so anybody who drops in will have a link to you. Folks, if you're
that'll be done.
If you're listening in, you can also scroll down underneath the four separate chat rooms in the super chat, and there is a People for People banner down there, People for People Radio. Click on that and go over there and say hi to those folks, wonderful people over there. And that's what it's all about. That's what these networks are all about. And if you think we're not making a difference, you can see it in the mainstream, what they used to call the mainstream media, the propaganda machine. They're panicking right now because people like us have been talking and sharing information, and they don't like it when we do that. They don't like it when we talk. They don't like it when we communicate. They don't like it when we care for each other, because that's how they make their money, is when we're fighting each other.
I just want to let you know, South Africa, the woman from South Africa, she will be our first guest, and I hope to get many, many more.
Well, I believe you build it, they will come, man. I believe it'll happen. So that's great. That's great news. So, you know, we started off this show and saying, what do you believe? And that's what we'd like to know, what you believe out there. You know, send us a message in the chat room, or use Shaziz at yahoo.com and send the message in and tell us what you believe. What do you think this world's all about? It's definitely an interesting one, I'll tell you that, because if you can get bored in today's world, I don't know what to say.
Well, you know, it's kind of like this. You know, as far as Washington, D.C. or any high politician thing, I don't believe in nothing they're saying. But here's my point. There's a, you know, whether you like the metal music or not, there's a lot of, how do I say it, they're telling you the truth of what's actually going on. And you had a band once called System of a Down. And the only thing they're saying is, why did they start the war, and why they always send the poor?
Yep.
They don't go themselves.
Black Sabbath sang a song like that as well. You know, and they also talked about, you know, the world's full of kings and queens that blind your eyes and steal your dreams. You know, a lot of the best songs out there, you know, which we play a few of those songs on here now and then, if you actually listen to the lyrics, people out there are telling the story the way that they see it, the way that they believe it. And I like a song that has a good message to it, a meaning, you know, and it basically, you know, wakes people up to what this world is really all about. I think the ultimate thing of what this world is really all about is so far removed from what we're actually seeing in life itself. I think that this whole entire deal is like a school, you know. It's a learning experience. It's something that is supposed to take our spirit to the highest possible level. When we finally have that light bulb turn on in our minds and our hearts and our soul, that we understand, we get it, we get our true purpose. Everybody's always trying to, when from the time they're born, trying to find out, where did we come from? Why are we here? What's the point in all of it? And when they can't find those answers, they find themselves in distress. And some of them move towards spirituality and maybe join a church or, you know, a group of people that, you know, seeking, you know, answers as well. But the thing is, I believe everything that we needed to know has been right here all along. It's been right there before our very eyes. I'm going right back to that flower in the crack of the concrete that Barbara told about. That to me is the meaning of life. That even in the worst, beauty still finds a way up there. And one candle is all it takes to defeat the darkness. That's it. You turn that one candle on and that darkness will recede to the power of that candle. Now you can imagine if there's 9 billion people on this planet and each one of them's a candle and they turn on the light, there's no stopping you then. There's no darkness in the world that can compete with the power of 9 billion loving and caring souls. And that's the wave that we're starting a little ripples. You know, we're slapping the water and trying to get that wave going. But once that wave gets a rolling, once people out there are inspired to believe in themselves and to believe in each other and understand their true power and the spoken word and the power of their actions and the power of their love and all that. Once they realize that, just like that, I'm going to play it on the way out of here when we get ready to get up out of here. I'm going to play that, what that grasshopper said in A Bug's Life. He was talking about, you let that one little ant stand up against us, and then they all might stand up. And when they realize that they outnumber us 100-1, then our way of life is going to change. The elite know what that grasshopper was talking about. The elite only fear one thing. And that is the day that the sleeping giant, which is we the people, finally rise up against them and put them out of office and put them out of their lifestyle of luxury and not allow them to do what they have done to generations of people from all nations and all races and all belief systems.
Well, you know, I'm the type of person, my brother, I've done got to the point to the where the rage of the machine, you know, that man once said, you know, I don't believe what you tell me. I got to see it.
Yeah, I believe what you do.
I'm going to tell you a story here. There was once a farmer who grew excellent quality corn. Every year he won the award for the best grown corn. One year, a newspaper reporter interviewed him and learned something interesting about how he grew his corn. The reporter discovered that the farmer actually shared his seed corn with his neighbors. And the reporter says, "How can you afford to share your best seed corn with your neighbors when they are entering corn in competition with yours each year?" And the farmer says, "Well, didn't you know? The wind picks up pollen from the ripening corn and swirls it from field to field. If my neighbors grow inferior corn, cross-pollination will steadily degrade the quality of my corn. If I am to grow good corn, I must help my neighbors grow good corn." So, this is the same with our lives. Those who want to live meaningfully and well must help enrich the lives of others. For the value of a life is measured by the lives that it touches. And those who choose to be happy must help others find happiness, for the welfare of each is bound up with the welfare of all. You can call it power of collectivity or call it a principle of success. You can call it a law of life. But the fact is, none of us truly wins until we all win.
That is brilliant. I don't know where you found that, but that is brilliant. That is so brilliant. And that's...
Yeah, I just looking here on... It was passed by two people I know, passed onto Facebook here. It's a beautiful thing, right? And it makes sense.
Yeah. It's brilliant. And that's what we're talking about. If you turn that light on in yourself and everybody else around you sees it and they turn their light on as well and they send those positive ripples out. That's why I said it'd be interesting to see how far a smile from your face would travel. You know, you go watch it go from face to face. You know, maybe you smile at somebody at the gas station, they get in the car, they go to the airport, they smile at somebody on the plane, they get off the plane, that other person smiles at somebody else, and just to see how far that one smile would actually travel would be so amazing. And that's,
well, you know,
that's what we're doing.
The fact that if you want to look at amazing things, I'm going to say it real quick. If you want to look at something amazing, and you know, this is just for my own personal self. You're looking at a man that has had to fight his whole life. I mean, fight seriously, you know, for everything, and have a child that had to fight for his whole life to turn into what I'm doing now is a miracle in itself. So, if you think miracles can't happen, ladies and gentlemen, please, you got to look at the world within yourself, because it can happen.
I just passed that link to you, Shazuz, if you wanted to have it.
Yeah, I'll check that out and bookmark it. That's really awesome.
But it can happen, ladies and gentlemen, if you think about it.
Really? I believe in that. You know me and the miracles. I do believe in the miracles, and I think that you have to believe, you see. I use the word I believe in miracles. Now, miracles aren't going to happen unless you have some belief, because you'll basically block anything positive with your skepticism or your doubt. That's just the way it works. It's the law of the universe, right? Wouldn't
yep.
you say?
Well, you know, I keep mentioning Henry Ford, that saying that Henry Ford said, if you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. And it's so true, you know. If you don't believe in yourself, or if you don't believe it's possible for you to do anything, then you're not going to get nothing done. It's as simple as that. You can't get yourself inspired if you don't even believe you have a chance of success. And that's why I think that it's important for us, even if we're just trying to put a good word out there in the ears of people to inspire them to believe in themselves, don't jump off that bridge. You don't cheat the world out of what it is that is you. There's only one. There will only ever be one of each of you out there. You were made so unique that, you know, there's nobody else who can do or say things. There might be a million people with the same exact name as yours or whatever, but there is only ever going to be one of you. And if you take that rare gem out of this world, you know, for whatever reason, then you cheat the rest of the world of what it is to be you. What it means, what your purpose was to be here to begin with. Because every puzzle has many pieces of it. And that picture can only be complete when every single piece falls into place and you get to see what the grand scheme of things, in your answer to why it is that we're all here, will finally be revealed once all those pieces of the puzzle are put into place and you can see that picture, and then you know why. You know the truth. I believe that's what we're here to learn.
You know, some of you have heard a little bit about me, but I was guided by spirit to meet a very beautiful Lakota elder, became my relative, Wallace Black Elk. He was a Lakota healer, holy man they called him. And he always talked to us about doubt. He said, doubt is a disease of the body and the mind and your spirit, you know. He said, but here's something he says here about the old people, his grandmothers and grandfathers, and the old people meaning the elders of his nation. They said, one of the things the old people taught me about the spirits was to never have a doubt. This is a theme throughout the ways of our people, okay? The spirit world is something hard to believe in because we can't see it, right? Our minds convince us to seek proof for everything, but we need to believe that the unseen world exists, and the unseen world is guided by principles, laws, and values. If we have doubt, we can pray to the Great Spirit to remove this doubt. He understands how difficult it can be sometimes, so he's always ready to help us during our doubtful times we are lucky to have such an understanding, I could say understanding, and a helpful creator. And your prayer is a great spirit. Today, divorce me from any doubt. And I think this is a very important piece about doubt. If you really think about it, how doubt infects us and eliminates our connectedness to something grand and miraculous and amazing. Even, like I said, the ability to heal, to allow the energy of healing and light and love to come through us through prayer. If you have a doubt that you don't have that ability, it's not going to happen. If you doubt or are skeptical that the Great Spirit Creator wants people to be healthy and heal and have joy and peace here, then it will not happen.
Yep, man. In my faith, I've said this many times, Jesus said that if you had the faith of a mustard seed, which if you think about a mustard seed, that's pretty tiny. That, just that tiny bit of faith. He said you could move mountains. And I believe it. That's what I believe. I believe that we can move mountains. I believe we are moving mountains. Even if it's not happening, if I'm impatient and it's not happening as fast as I'd like to see it, I believe that this world is moving towards truth and justice and fairness and all that. There's still a lot going on because the dark side, they're not going to give up without a fight. They've got thousands of years involved in, their dirty deeds, and they got a lifestyle that they really want to keep. And they're going to do every dirty trick under the sun and try to manipulate you into doing their bidding, because here's the dirty secret of it all. They need you to be the killer. They need you to be the one that's hating. They need you to be the one that fights amongst each other. They need you to do their dirty work for them. And some of you will. Some of you will take their gold and silver to go out there and do something rotten to a fellow brother and sister just to benefit yourself. Which is a shame, because the price that you pay for that little bit of gold and silver might very well be something that you're really not wanting to get rid of altogether. It may be your very soul, for that matter. And there's a reason why they call it selling your soul to the devil. The devil's going to collect. And whether it be, via karma, even if you don't believe in a higher power, if you do people rotten in this world has a way of biting back, and it comes back with a vengeance. So for everything that you do, whether it be good or bad, it's coming back. You can take it how you want it. That's the way life works. You go out there and steal from your neighbors, and eventually somebody's going to come around and steal from you. You go out there and kill one of your fellow brothers and sisters in this world, somebody's going to come around and want to kill you. That's the way it works. But imagine if you took that to the opposite side of the spectrum, and you took a little bit of advice from some folks who figure, I get it. I know what the world's about. It's about love, and it always has been. And if it had ever stayed that way, imagine what this world, how blessed the people of this world would be if they weren't continuously destroying the land that they stand upon, and they were working in harmony with nature. I've seen it on a small scale on this 16 acres that I'm on. I go out there and I work it, and I help it, and I do what I can to try to work in harmony with nature. I don't always succeed, but when I do, I see things happening out here. I see less thorns, and I see more fruits. So even in my little time span, I'm seeing results. Imagine what you could do with this world if you decide to go out there and plant a seed and put something on the table for somebody else. It works.
Well, there's a tribute, of course, going on a lot to the military people, because I guess we're coming up to Memorial Day. I didn't realize that until I'm looking at this. I'm seeing all these tributes, and there's a tribute here to a Native man sitting in a wheelchair with his eagle feathers on, and obviously he's a veteran. And this says, to rest in peace, rest in peace to all my natives, relatives who fought and died for a country that never fought for you. You know?
Yeah,
I'm just saying, this is what we're looking at. But also, you know, just the men and the women throughout time. I think of my dad, you know, in the World War II, was on the Intrepid. And he was, interestingly enough, you know, my name is Three Crow, right? Because I've had experiences with crows all my life, but I saved the lives of three crows. That's how I got this name. But my Lakota name is Tunkahotowian, which is Gray Stone Woman. Sometimes we have many names in our tradition. But my dad was in the Intrepid. He was in the Navy, and he was the one they sent up to the crow's nest. What they called the crow's nest on the ship, right?
Yeah.
And he would spend time up there, and, you know, you weren't supposed to go up there in a storm, he said, you know. But he loved the storms. Well, I love storms, too. But he'd go up there, he'd sneak out down below when there was a huge storm, and he'd climb up on that crow's nest. He'd sit in the crow's nest by himself up there, which was not allowed, but he loved it. He'd go up there, and the ship would be rocking and tipping back and forth. He said, sometimes so far tipping that the waves would practically wash over him, you know. But he came back from the war, as many people did. You know, he was 19 when he went into the war, you know, very traumatized, you know. And I often think of that. Of course, I think of him. And I think of the way in this world, the whole world, young men and women too, sent off to war for ridiculous political reasons and totally unnecessary, and the trauma that they carry back home. And then, of course, some of them don't make it back home. But the trauma of the lives and the people around them, you know, when a father or son, daughter, whatever, goes to war, they come back carrying a lot of burden,
yep,
of their experience. And it affects the families, it affects them, you know, in their lives. And not too many people, or let's say not the ones who could do something about it, I suppose, or help the veterans, are doing very much. You have the PTSD, you know, which, something interesting about PTSD, right? It's like World War II, they didn't have PTSD. That came, I think, maybe after the Vietnam War, I suppose. I'm not positive, but it seems something like that. But it was like battle fatigue. I mean, they had all these kinds of names for things, for this issue. And I'm thinking of that, you know, the PTSD. And now you have, they're finding out now, the truth is coming out. Of course, it was denied all these years about Agent Orange. Agent Orange used in the Vietnam War to spray the people, the crops, the families, the children, the mothers. And of course, it affected the fight, the military. Go ahead.
Before you get too far away from the PTSD, I want to point something out to people. Here in the United States, they got this deal that they've been doing for like at least the last 2 or 3 years or whatever, where, you know, when the people find out you're a veteran, they'll say thank you for your service. And I always felt awkward every time I heard that, you know, even though I was a Navy veteran. I always felt awkward whenever I heard that, because I turned that around and I say, well, thank you for your service, you know, because I recognize that while all these people were out serving their country on ships and in planes and battlefields or whatever, the people, they were home, they were the waitresses, they were the teachers, they were the police officers, the firemen, of every single type of job description, and even just the average Joe out there keeping the basically the home fires lit and taking care of the home while these folks were out there serving their nations. And so I want them to be recognized too. I want the waitress to know that even that job made to some people might not be important. That's a very important job. Every single job. There's actually certain nations out there that when they train people how to do a job, it's like one of the cogs in the machine. Without that one person's job, and nobody else can do that job, then that machine will fall apart. There are some people in some nations who actually train multiple people in multiple jobs so that if something happened to one of them, they can step right into that job. But nonetheless, unless people are there to be able to do these jobs, then the whole system falls apart. And what are you out there fighting for if your own nation is falling apart while you're away? You see what I'm trying to point out here? Every single person, including the janitor, the dog catcher, the trash man, or whatever, every job out there is important when it comes to society and making things work the way that they do. Now, the problem that we got is that all these people that are out there working really hard to make this world work the way that it does are being manipulated by people up at the top of the pyramid who want more power. They want to send that janitor's son to the battlefield to fight to make them more money. It's taken away from that person's life. Oh, I hope what I'm saying is making sense to people listening right now. Every single person on this planet is so important. Every single person on this planet has value. To them, it's the value of you being cattle or how much money that you're going to pay in taxes or what you can do for the system. But to society, to your fellow brothers and sisters out there, you're that piece of the puzzle that may very well hold the key or the answer to this entire thing. And if they're sending you or your children to war, they're stealing from you and they're stealing from us. So with that said, as a veteran, I'm telling the average person out there, thank you for your service. And that you are unique and you are special. It doesn't matter what job you got. Your job is just as important as the man's job at the top. That's the way I look at it. You know, a true pastor of a true church would stand there eye to eye with his congregation. A true pastor of a true church would basically tell the people to go out there and tithe to their brothers and sisters, not to the church. It's not about a building. It's not about power. It's not about wealth, fame, and fortune. It's about if you believe that those are God's children out there, then that's where your finances, that's where your labor, that's where your tithing should be, out there in your communities. So if you're sitting on top of a multi-million dollar church and there's somebody within miles, hundreds of miles from you that's in trouble, you should take and sell off a piece of that church and you should go fix that problem and help those people out. That's what it's supposed to be about. You don't give to God's children and then ask Caesar to get it back. I hope that you understand my point here. You know, my God said, whatever you do unto the least of me, you do unto me. And so, I want to treat everybody well because I feel like the blessings that I've been given, the wonderful people I've been surrounded by, those came from my Creator. And if my Creator loved me that much to give me something so beautiful and the free will to choose what to do or not to do with it, I want to do the best I can. It's called gratitude. I'm thankful. I'm blessed. See, y'all got any thoughts?
Grandmother?
Yeah, I'm thinking of gratitude. You know, I was talking about that yesterday in the ceremony. We had our Nippy, our lodge, and all day yesterday, and I was talking about gratitude, you know. I was talking about how people forget so easily to be grateful. I mean, there are so many things right around us to be grateful for.
Yep.
And why I was talking about this was I'm talking about people's prayers in the lodge. You know, we have a prayer round, we call it. And people, I hear people praying, you know, and it's interesting about prayer because I said, you know, I grew up Catholic and I learned how to pray by rote, words that I didn't even know what they meant, and somebody else gave them to me. And I didn't feel a connection. I didn't know what they meant. There was a very remote experience, prayer, you know, in the way brought up. I said, Our Father was told us, Our Father who art in heaven, you know, and I was thinking, what is that? You know, then they give you a picture of what to believe in, you know. Somebody up there in a white beard and a cloud and sitting on a throne or whatever. And, you know, I mean, all these prayers that we were given by rote, by somebody else wrote them, and not my words, not my heart, not my communication, my personal communication or conversation with God. It was given to me as a child what to say. I didn't know what it meant. I didn't feel anything. Didn't feel anything, you know, but I was a good girl and a good Catholic girl and did what I was told. So, you know, when I found the way, the Chunkaluta, we call it the Red Road, when Spirit guided me, and when it was the right time, I knew I came home. I cried because I knew I came home. I knew I found what I'd been looking for all my life. It was the way of a people that was true, connected to Great Spirit and the Mother Earth and the heart connectedness, the spirit connectedness to all creation that we are one with. And the way we speak, the way we communicate is a prayer. And the prayers are from your heart. The prayers are your own words. It's your heart speaking to Great Spirit, Wakantanka, Tukashla, in that moment, in that lodge, in that prayer, place of prayer, that altar that we call the Hochaka, the sacred altar, where the grandfathers come from the fire that give us the medicine, the vonia, the breath of life, and remove the tokas of body, mind, and spirit, and bring healing and purification and help and health. We're sitting there in the dark, and your time comes to pray. You know, when I first went to the lodge, the Anipi, and I heard the people pray, I was like, oh, wow, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to speak to God. I don't know how to speak to Great Spirit, Creator. Nobody showed me, nobody told me that it's from your heart. It's your own word. You're sitting there one-on-one with Great Spirit there, listening to you. It's your time, your moment in time, where you can speak to Great Spirit, Creator, from your heart as that child, that sacred child, right? And I'm sitting there, I'm listening to prayers go around, you know, the lodge is filled with people and all these Indian people are saying the prayers the way they learned from the old ones, the way to pray from your heart. Nobody tells you how to pray. Nobody says this is what you say. Nobody says you say it 3 times, 12 times, 15 times. Nobody says that. The way you pray is from your heart. The elders tell you, you pray from the words in your heart and your spirit that need help or want to say something in gratitude. Thank you. Thank you, Tukashla, for my life today. Thank you so much for my health and the well-being. And also, you know, the thing is, thank you for what is immediately around me, the mother. Pilamaya. Thank you, Wopila. You know, thank you for the water. The water that I need every day, the water, the holy water in the lodge with us, the Minnewichoni there waiting for us to take a sip of that water or pour it on the grandfathers to bring the Wonia, the breath of life that cleanses us, carries our prayers to Wakantakashla. Nobody tells you this is the way you pray. You have to pray this way. You have to do this. You have to sit. You have to stand. You have to do this and that. And this is what you say. Nobody does that in the way of the people. So I'm sitting there and I'm hearing the people speaking to Great Spirit and I'm like scared now because I'm thinking I don't know how to pray. What am I going to say? How do I pray? What are the words I need? Somebody needs to tell me. But there was no one there to tell me because that's not the way of the people. Because it's your personal relationship with Tukashla, Great Spirit, that you are in in that moment and every day of your life. So the words that come from your heart spirit, knowing that you are one with and the Creator Great Spirit is watching you, wants to know what is in your heart, child. What is it? How can I help you? I want to know, even though I know you. I want to know, even though I know what's going on in the world. Ah, some people sit there and they say, oh, you know, oh, Great Spirit, things are terrible down here. Oh, the people are lying. Oh, the people are awful. People are killing each other. Oh, Tukasa, this is terrible. Oh, Great Spirit, oh, God, this is awful down here. And I have to stop them, and I say, stop right now. Creator knows the troubles here. Creator knows the issues, the wrongs, the terrible things. Creator already knows this. You don't have to tell Creator what Creator already knows, but Creator is waiting for you to speak from your heart. What is it that you need? What is it that you need help with? This is a way of prayer that is original, the way the people are connected and related to. So it is grateful. To be grateful, that's the first step I said yesterday. The first square one, start from square one. Pilamaya means thank you. Pilamaya.
Yeah.
Pilamaya for the water. Pilamaya for my life today. Pilamaya for the green and what the green spirits do, the green people, the trees, the plants, what they do for us, Creator. Pilamaya, thank you. And the breath of life, Wonia. Everything. Thank you, Great Spirit. Thank you for my life. Thank you for the health of my children, my grandchildren, and watch over this land and all the people. Pilamaya, Tukashla. You know, and I need help, Tukashla. What do I need help with? I need help to be strong. I need help to be in my heart. I need help, Great Spirit. That's what I need. So these are the ways we learn the way of communication relationship with Tukashla Great Spirit. It is not telling Creator how bad it is here.
Yeah,
it's not. That's not what it's about.
Simply asking to help me to help others to make it all better. Because that's our job. We're supposed to be helping to make it better. We could complain.
No, you keep it. People keep asking God to make it better.
Yeah, but it's our free will. We chose to tear this world apart. We have to choose to fix
well,
it.
Well, you're responsible. I say, yeah. I need to take responsibility. I say to the people, you need to take responsibility. You ask God to do this. You ask Great Spirit to do this, do that. Help this one. Do that. I said, where are you in this equation?
Yeah.
What are you doing? What is your participation? Because I say, I hear your prayers every time we come together, I hear the same prayers. What's your participation? I said, if nothing's happening, you're blaming Creator. Well, nothing happens. I keep praying, and nothing happens. So, you know, I don't believe I don't even believe it anymore. I'm just saying words that, you know, this is what people do. I say, you keep asking for the same thing over and over again. What's your participation? What are you doing to change things? What are you doing to help others and make it better?
I broke my gift. Can you fix it for me?
Yep.
Well, folks,
exactly.
We're down there. It's time to go around that table again and everybody say their last words of wisdom. But once again, you know, I'm amazed at some of the things that come up out of these shows. And I honestly have hope for the future. I think that together that we could do a lot. And I'm just going to keep on doing this and see where we go, you know? So with that said, you want to go first, Barbara?
Yeah, I just want to say thank you. Always, I'm so grateful for the opportunity to sit here with you and Pilamaya to you and to Dog, and it's a beautiful time we spend together. And I hope always, I say, let me be hopefully sharing something that touches someone's heart spirit. I don't know everything. I'm just sharing with you my perspectives, my ideas, and things that have come to me. You know, I don't know everything. We're all still learning. We're all teachers to each other. So I just say that. And today, you know, let this day be a beautiful day for you. It can be if it's what you see it as. And I have great hope and faith in all of us people. I know we have something inside of us that is beautiful, significant, very important, and we're all here together sharing this life and this beauty all around us, and let's choose through our free will Creator gave us what is positive and what is good, what is uplifting. That's our choice. The words that come out of our mouths, let it be something good and positive rather than the opposite. You know, let us not be judgmental. Let us be kind and generous. And let us also pray for those who are lost, or those who are really screwed up, messed up, because, as I say, keep saying, there for the grace of God go I. Could be me. It could be you. I'm grateful that it's not. I'm grateful, so grateful, because the temptations, the greed temptation, the power temptation, the temptation to be judgmental and hateful and hurtful and prejudiced is very present. It is very present. So I'm just, you know, sending out a prayer to everyone, to all people on the mother, the black nation, the red, yellow, white nation, and brown nations. I have great faith. I see people awakening. It's really beautiful to see the awakening and the people going, oh my gosh, I was over here thinking this, that, and believing in this and that. Now I saw the light. I'm like, people are stunned, and it's a beautiful thing to see that, to be free to be able to think for yourself and not follow, you know, the mainstream media or the politicians or the authorities who are telling you what to think or telling you how to pray or telling you how to get to Creator or telling you how to be joyous, telling you to buy this so that you'll have that and feel happy and joyous, take this pill if you don't sleep, if you don't have a good sexual life, or if you can't find a relationship, take this pill, spend money, spend more money, and get yourself in debt. Get free. Be free. I think that's the way Creator wanted us to be. We are sovereign beings and beautiful people, and thank you for allowing me to speak today. Pilamaya.
You always inspire me every time we get together. I got a lot of hope in this world. It's you know, folks, when we get to the end of this journey that we're all on together, even though we're all going in separate directions, we're all heading down the same exact path. There will come a day when we all finally get to the end of this journey, and then we'll know the truths that we've been arguing all along. Probably over the same Creator, probably over the same journey to find out who and what we really are and what our purpose is here. We'll probably find out that we weren't so far apart as we thought we were all this time. I think that we can make this journey so much more pleasant for everyone, not this, that's just here, but everyone that is to come before we finally get to the end. I think that we can pave the stones to make it a smooth journey. We can take that smooth path by avoiding the ones we took before. Anyway, with that said, Two Dog, you got any last words of wisdom before we get up out of here?
The only thing I can say is, brothers and sisters around the world, I know you love your wives. I know you love your husbands. I know you love your kids. I know you play with your kids when you come home. I know you all set meat together. We all talk together. There's no one around the world different than that. We all do that. So really, we're just the human being, and we are all related, whether you like it or not. And truthfully, culturally, we may be a little different, but as the human being, we're all the same. So much love, honor, and respect to all nations out there, and thank you once again for having me on with you, buddy.
Well, thank you for being here. Shoot, man, I tell you what, you two, you make me smile every time we get together. You teach me something new, and together we're researching all kinds of stuff and sharing that information. And that's what families do, right there. They sit down and have the meal together like you just mentioned. So that's what the Knights of the Round Table is all about. If you want to jump over there on the podcast page, just look at the Knights Code of Honor on there. I'll click over there real quick and just read it right before we get up out of here, because it is important. Open link a new tab. There we go. That ain't what it says, but that's what I was saying. Anyway, there's a picture on there of a knight standing there, and it says Knight's Code of Honor. It says, let truth, honor, justice, respect, fairness, wisdom, courage, and the love for one another be our guide. Grant us the wisdom to do what is right. That's all we ever ask of anybody who wants to be part of what we're talking about. Just be yourself. Be honorable and truthful with each other. And be loving. That's all anybody can ask of anybody. That's the best of the world, and that is the miracle you've been waiting for. Take a look in the mirror. You're that miracle from the Creator that you've been waiting out to see. You got so much and don't realize it. Even if you live in the worst kind of scenario or worst situation, there's something out there for you. There's someone out there for you. And I believe that with everything I am, that inside of every single person is a good soul. Just waiting for that time to shine. Peace and love, everybody. You've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. If you like what you heard here, share it with somebody else. If you only like a tiny bit of what you heard here, chop the podcast up, make it smaller, send out whatever you like, discard whatever you don't like. There's plenty to go around. You know, this is a buffet of ideas. It's a buffet of love and freedom and justice and knowledge and information and solutions. And that's what these networks are meant to be for. Seeking solutions. That was the phrase that lured me into becoming a radio show guy years ago. And I stuck with it because I like the idea. Been listening nights around.
Up to me. Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one hand.
Ooh, one hand. Yeah, you're right. It's just one hand.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Old woman!
Man!
Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur.
That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up, will you? Shut up!
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system. Help, help, I'm being repressed.
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance whenever we're able. We do routines to call a scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more. So many times we give and rise to our quiet unseen able. We're off to mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot. No, we're tough and able, quite indefatigable.
I have to push the Pramalot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Terrible. Always working to serve the terrible and the knights of the round table.